online, at your own time, and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Mistrial today in the I Won't Go to Iraq military case. The military court-martial will try again next month to put First Lieutenant Aaron Watata on trial for refusing to obey his orders to deploy to Iraq. CBS's Stephen Kaufman is at Fort Lewis, Washington. He says the mistrial came after a split with the judge over what Watata was thinking when he signed a document the military lawyers take as a confession to the facts at issue.
It has been the contention of the defense all along that this war is an illegal and immoral war. The judge refused to accept that.
Next court-martial set for March 9th. $26 billion to handle the reconstruction of Iraq. Some of the money, anyway, allegedly proved too much temptation for five people, including three Army Reserve officers.
These individuals, including three military reserve officers, Army colonels and lieutenant colonels, who were placed in positions of trust, used the CPA funds as their own personal ATM machines.
Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty says bribes taken range from wads of cash to jewelry, fancy cars, and even a single-engine airplane in one occasion. Astronaut Lisa Nowak is back with her family now in Houston after a medical checkup at Johnson Space Center.
Lisa was relieved of her duties as Capcom on 117, and we're replacing her.
That's pending resolution of the criminal charges against her in an alleged plot against a romantic rival. She remains with NASA. NASA is reviewing the screening process now for astronauts in response to that case. Dieters may want to perk up over this one. A drug that gets rid of fat has been approved over the counter by the FDA.
The drug company GlaxoSmithKline chose the name Ally for this pill because it's supposed to be allied with a weight loss program, including exercise and healthy eating. Already available in a stronger dose labeled Zenical, requiring a prescription. This is a class of drug called Orlistat, which works in the intestines to block absorption of fat. About 30% of fat you consume leaves your body as waste.
CBS's Dan Revive in Washington. Several explosions today at a chemical plant in Kansas City has spawned a considerable evacuation. KCTV reporter Dana Wright.
It has created a haze over the entire Kansas City metropolitan area. It's just this drifting dark cloud.
Schools, homes, businesses for at least a mile in all directions around the plant have been evacuated. A German man in Frankfurt's off his feed where Italian chocolates are concerned for the moment. The chocolate bar had nuts in it, plus someone's fingertip, fingernail and all. No one noticed at the factory, evidently, because mostly buried in the chocolate, it looked, well, pretty much like a nut. 28-year-old man first took the chocolate bar to his family doctor to make sure what it was, then to the cops. Wall Street, the Dow closed up about half a point. The Nasdaq gained 19. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Emerging research suggests that eating foods naturally rich in antioxidants may help protect your memory. I think that's big news. Even more surprising is where to find those protective antioxidants. Did you know Welch's 100% grape juice has powerful antioxidants, just like red wine? In fact, one independent study just ranked Welch's 100% grape juice the number one beverage for antioxidant capacity per serving among 1,000 foods tested. So if you want to help protect your memory, remember to drink delicious Welch's 100% grape juice every day. This is Charles Osgood. I'll see you on the Osgood File.
My name is Leslie, and I've been smoke-free for 6.5 months.
Quitting smoking is hard, but millions of people have succeeded.
My name is Brad, and I've been smoke-free for 15 months now.
If you decide to quit smoking, visit Quit Assist, a free resource that links you to a wealth of expert quitting information, including websites, guides, quit lines, and more. It could help you find your own way to success.
My name is Etta, and I have been smoke-free for 4 years.
Quit Assist, a free information resource. Log on at philipmorrisusa.com.
The U.S. is exporting more than just technology. Sometimes we export crime.
When immigrants from Guatemala who've joined Los Angeles gangs are arrested and deported, they take L.A.'s hardcore gang techniques with them.
Of course, that will mean that they get more technology, they get more sophisticated.
El Salvador wants a heads up from U.S. authorities before convicted gang members are sent back home.
So we can take some steps in El Salvador to prevent criminal activities by them.
And LAPD Chief Bill Bratton is keeping an eye on a possible merger of transnational gangs and international terrorists.
We want to be prepared to prevent that confluence.
Michael Linder, CBS News, Los Angeles.
For the most part, graffiti's an eyesore to be sandblasted or painted over. In London, a graffiti maker who has eluded police for years has become something of a celebrity. Angelina Jolie is famous for buying some of Banksy's art. Banksy, that's his handle, has made it establishment now. His painting, Bombing Middle England, is just sold for $200,000 at Sotheby's. Harley Carnes, CBS.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
After 3 o'clock, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, only to be with you until 7, right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We do this 5 days a week. It is, I think, one of the best conversations around. I like to think so. We try anyway. And the reason it's such a wonderful conversation is that you make it so. Those of you who all of you who participate, who call, who think about, even though those of you who think about calling but who don't do it yet, you're getting closer and closer to that moment when you pick up the phone and it's utterly toll-free to call Enid Live and to register your thoughts about any given subject. And you might think your thoughts might not be of interest to a wider audience, but I'll bet you're wrong about that. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320, 349-1320. And if you're not, it's 866-626-1320, 866-626-1320. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. Enid@kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com, 1320leftchannel.com. So it's one word, 1320leftchannel.com. I want to remind you that in our 4 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Antonia Yuhas, if all goes well. She has written a book called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time. It sounds dry, but let me tell you, I heard her interviewed by Bobby Kennedy, and what she has to say is really relevant, particularly since Henry Waxman has got all these meetings, and we're talking about pallets, 363 tons worth of pallets filled with money. I mean, you can't even conceive of it. Billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of money that we sent over. We don't have money for anything here. Lots of us are struggling. Certainly, municipalities are just living on crumbs because there's not enough money to fund the things that have to be funded. Oh, and let me just throw this into the mix. Here is somebody, Carrie Renee Aceves, worked for the Department of Child Support Services. Her salary was about $62,000 a year, $62,000 and change. She was a, quote, procurement analyst, which meant that she knew how to use the state's credit card. Now the CHP has busted her. The Sacramento Bee reports for going on a spending spree with taxpayer dollars to purchase a flat-screen TV, iPods, and other household items. She and whips and handcuffs and a new Lexus with only 389 miles on the odometer. And I think it's like $350,000 worth of stuff or so. And guess what? They put her on leave. It's a paid leave. She's on paid leave. Can you believe that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Giuliani and McCain are sort of even right now in New Hampshire. We think that Giuliani is going to announce when he's in Sacramento on Saturday, delivering a speech to Republicans in California. We think that he might formally announce his candidacy. I want to talk about, we've been talking about newspapers. We've been talking about circulation being down in newspapers. We have been talking about what makes a newspaper great. First of all, let me just make one observation. What Craig Newmark said yesterday, I quoted yesterday, Craig Newmark is the founder of Craigslist. And he said for a newspaper to succeed, it's got to be really local. It's got to forget about making those 20% profit margins. It needs to speak power. It needs to speak truth to power. Now, I think we do this every day. You and I do this every day. We are, I believe, speaking truth to power. We're not a newspaper. Maybe we have bigger circulation than a newspaper. I don't know. We are, you know, we're very accessible. You don't have to put 50 cents into the coin box to hear what we have to say, what you have to say, what I have to say, and so on. 349-1320-866-626-1320. But let me share something with you. One way to make a newspaper better, if you're talking about local. One of the things I've kidded about are the engagements. You see those in the New York Times, but you do not see them in the Sacramento Bee. There's a lot of local stuff and the more investigative reporting stuff. But one of the other things we talked about yesterday was the fact that there has been an influx from the Bay Area of about 150,000 people. Now, how that has altered the region, I don't know. You will know better than I. Does it just mean that it's more traffic? Does it just mean that the home prices have gone higher? Has there been a sense of community? Do we actually palpably feel the effects of this Bay Area influx into Sacramento region? Has it been better? Has it been worse? Has it diluted something? Has it added a note of pretentiousness or what? We don't know. And I haven't heard a lot of feedback from you on it. So if you have some thoughts about this, I'd like to hear them. But one of the things that we do know about the Bay Area, and this is the region. We are just really one large region here. We are as close to wine country, and that's without the H, wine country. We are as close to wine country as the Bay Area is. So we're about the same distance. And furthermore, Davis has a top flight wine enology, world-class enology department that everybody goes to study. And they're a big deal. So we're part of that. So you would think, wouldn't you, when you have the San Francisco Chronicle, just as close to wine country as we are, which has not only a must-read food section, but a couple of wine inserts throughout the week that are must-read wine sections, you might think that Sacramento, which now has some very fine restaurants and a really thriving restaurant scene, some really good stuff here. Biba is really wonderful. I love the pizza at Zelda. I mean, there are a lot of places that I have yet to discover. There's some wonderful Japanese that I have, you know, and I'm sure many, many, many other places that I have yet to find. I think that the Bee's food section is anemic. I'm looking at today's food section, and your goddess here clips out a lot of recipes and doesn't know how to make any of them, but I'm thinking maybe in another life I'm going to learn how to do this, and I got to be ready. So here is one, one food writer, Gwen Sean, is a food writer. There's one local story, it's on the front page, and then what does Gwen have to do? She's got to put together a whole bunch of other stuff, and I really, I see somebody who does the mailbox, so recipes that you send in, and then what's ripe, and there's somebody else with a byline. The rest of it looks like it's from Gwen. Let me see. Is there any other name here? I think she's it. It looks to me, I'm looking at today's food section. Let's just pay attention here. The Bee has closed down its Los Angeles and its San Francisco bureaus. So right away, how can it be a world-class paper? It's a B, not an A. That's why they've called it the B. So here it is. Here's the food section. So one of the things that they can do to make this newspaper a must-read is to have a really vibrant food section and certainly a wine section. You got Davis right down the street, you know, just a little bit down the pike. We are as close to the Napa Valley as San Francisco is, pretty much, I think. There's a really strong and vibrant foodie scene here. Marlena Spieler, who I see published in the New York Times, but she's also a Chronicle food writer, lives part of the year in London, and is a native Sacramentan, did a whole circuit of all these great places in Sacramento. Some of them are holes in the wall, or they sound that way from her description, but they have great, great food. So why do we have such a pathetic food section in the Sacramento Bee? Maybe somebody could address this. I think that's just a great place to start. it. You have a great food section. I think, you know, you start to build your audience person by person. You start to be a must-read kind of a publication, I think. What are your thoughts? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Laura and Sac, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Enid. Hey, I wanted to assuage your concerns about the state employee that's on paid administrative leave.
Yeah.
The reason why she's on paid leave is because she has a permanent state position and therefore due process rights attached. She cannot be deprived of a property interest in her job until she's had notice and an opportunity to be heard. The notice is the disciplinary action that she probably has already received, which my guess would be a termination. And she has the state equivalent of a preliminary hearing.
Now, wait a minute. Now, are these are allegations? Have they actually proved to their satisfaction? That
no.
Okay.
The state only has to allege, and they give you have a preliminary hearing with called.
Can they fire you with just the allegation, or do they have
yes.
to prove it?
No, they fire you, and then you appeal, and then the charges must be proved to a preponderance of the evidence, 51%, at an administrative...
Well, it made it sound in the B today like, you know, stop me before I kill again. It sounded like she couldn't stop herself from buying, and the things she bought, whips, handcuffs, chains, I mean, God.
It's mighty juicy, but in addition to likely losing her job and unlikely to fail at an appeal hearing, it's likely that she will face criminal prosecution as well. But again, to get back to the fact that she's on administrative leave, that preliminary hearing is generally held within 5 working days after you've been served with the notice. Once she's had that preliminary hearing, the termination will be effective, and she has the right to a further evidentiary appeal.
All right, so then go ahead.
If she's successful in that appeal, she would be reinstated and given back pay. The facts suggest she would not be successful in an appeal, but keep in mind that paid administrative leave is only for that very limited amount of time, often 5 working days.
And oh, okay. So you've explained it. I suspected that why it was paid was for them to sort it out as to determine whether or not those charges, you know, their allegations, and whether it gave them some time to prove those charges. But
there's a more interesting question that you may want to suggest to your listeners. Why was she allowed to misuse this card for so long? Possible that she may have been working in concert with at least one other person to perpetuate this fraud.
You know, that is an interesting. Well, or why wasn't there proper oversight? What was the time period that they alleged the fraud to have occurred?
I believe it was about 17 months.
Okay. Wow. 17 months, and nobody thought it was odd that she was driving a new Lexus and she was buying all the stuff. Although they may not have known that
well,
she was
buying. But you usually drive your car up to the front door of the workplace.
Well, you know, people see it, though. People always know what you're driving. Everybody knows what everybody is driving. But I'll tell you something. You're absolutely right. How did she get away with it for as long as she got away with it? And why was the oversight so lacking?
Many would probably suggest that that's just the laziness on the part of the state. I would offer that, in fact, there's a very low ratio of state employees to population. I would argue that the lack of oversight and accountability may be due to lack of adequate staffing.
Well, lack of adequate staffing, but the other thing you were chugging toward, Laura, was that maybe she had a friend in a high
Absolutely.
Place that and the two of them were working in concert together.
Yep.
Laura, thank you so much for elucidating. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
349-1320. All right, now we know why she's on paid leave. We have one line open. Red in Sac. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Red.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I am very well, thank you.
Dry and warm, I hope.
I hope.
Listen, on the bee thing, I've got. I'd like to mention something that's been on my craw on my work desk for a year now, and I've been back and forth with the bee on it, which I think could enormously improve circulation. But not only that, it's a slap to the community not to do it, and that is the basic. Cable TV channels, the ones for poor people and intelligent people, are C-SPAN channels, our community access channel, even the education channels, which I turn on by accident sometime and learn something. Those are left out of the on-TV schedules, and I don't want to get into a thing about.
Well, what do they tell you when you've called them? Why do they? What's their explanation? They don't have room for it all.
No, they've given two excuses, and they're really bogus. One is they didn't have room, but if you look down their list of cable.
All right, what's the other excuse?
All the paid programming says they got room. The second was readers aren't interested.
Well, Red, can I tell you, they have nothing for radio. If you think that they don't have anything...
Yeah, just as bad. But that is, it is not only a slap at intelligent readers, but, you know, the cable companies actively attempt to hide the fact that they even have a basic cable subscription. They want everybody to go premium. You have to. It's like
they don't hide it. They don't hide it.
When they come out to sell you stuff, it's like
Red. Everybody knows what the.
Admit it. Comcast and.
I had no problems with it. When I hooked up, I got the whole deal. What basic cable was, what the premiums were, what everything else was. Well, so in my case, they did not try to hide it.
Then they've changed since I got it, but they were actively trying to do it. And I think they try to suppress basic cable information. If you try to get on the B says they've got a website to get it. You try to get advanced listings on what's on those basic cable channels, the educational and information and politics channels and access channels.
Can't you go to like Channel One if you have Comcast or something, and it's got a listing of everything?
It's crazy. You can get it, but it's not convenient. You can't see a week in advance. You can't see a day in advance. You have to go through 15 menus to get there, and when you get there, you forgot what you were looking for.
All right, we're going to leave it there, Red. Yeah. So your complaint with the B is the listings aren't any other complaint?
They have left up those Comcast channels.
All right,
else? Just generally, their politics stink, but...
Well, that's too general. You can agree or disagree, but... You've registered your dismay.
My big complaint is that's information this community needs, and they are actively
all right, we're going to leave it there. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-26-1320. I'm not putting down Gwen Shawn here in the food section, but it looks like she's the workhorse for the whole damn section. And it is an anemic section with not a lot going on. So one person has got to put the whole thing out, it looks like. And here's Mike Dunn. He's the Bee food editor, and he's got Dunn on wine. And something on wine, and then it's Gwen Shawn, and pretty much that's it. A couple of other bylines that for the mailbox for recipes and what's ripe. So I'm not sure what that is. Maybe what's ripe in the markets, and that's by Michael Marks. So it's really a very anemic food section in a place that not only gets the spillover from the Bay Area, but that is becoming a foodie empire unto itself. And we are so close to wine country, and we're just down the pike from Davis. I think they're missing a bet here. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320. One place where the Bee can make itself more relevant. But if they want to cannibalize themselves by closing their San Francisco and Los Angeles bureaus, I guess they're not going to put out a bigger food section because they got to make up the losses. They sold the Minneapolis Star Tribune at a huge loss, so they got to pick it up somehow. So I guess this is how they think they're going to attract readers, by cannibalizing the product. I don't think it's going to work. Ann and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good.
My thoughts about what we're discussing about the Bee and also workers for the state. First of all, you have the city of Sacramento. I'm a native New Yorker, and when I moved here, I thought it was the most culturally flat place I have ever been.
Culturally flat, F-L-A-T, did you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been here now close to 30 years, and I do see Sacramento coming into its own. But one of the things that was explained to me, insofar as art projects, ballet, and so forth, is that the city of Sacramento, because it's a capital, has many government buildings, and we don't get tax revenue from those sites. And so there is a little bit less money.
Wait a minute. All right. Tax revenue from those government.
Like we would from, like, major corporate buildings.
Okay.
All right. Now, the interesting thing to me also about what we were discussing insofar as state workers and so on is that this woman who's a purchaser has spent an abundance of $300,000. Is that right?
Yeah, I want to say about $350,000, $360,000. I'm doing this from memory because I sort of scanned the story this morning.
Well, the interesting thing to me is that how much have we spent on the war in Iraq? And where is that money going? And I I feel like, yes, this woman absolutely has a problem because the things that she bought with the government money are, you know, very interesting. But I also think that there's going to be a lot of focus on this as you know, these state workers are out to get your money, therefore we shouldn't pay taxes.
Well, it was $320,000. It included flat-screen TV, hot tub, gazebo, right, iPods, handcuffs, chains, and whips.
Okay.
So all right, but tell me what your point is about her embezzlement.
Okay, my point about her embezzlement...
Her alleged embezzlement, I guess we should say.
In essence, I think... It is small potatoes. I think when you get your woman on who's going to talk about this administration and how...
What do you mean it's small potatoes? You know, just because the administration has been hugely bamboozling and embezzling us doesn't excuse this woman's $320,000 embezzlement from the state if that's what she did, if the allegations hold up. Is that what you're saying? It's like
I do agree with you. My big fear is that the public keeps getting... diverted by smaller issues instead of really concentrating on the bigger issues.
The public doesn't want to concentrate on bigger issues. And it doesn't matter whether somebody's embezzling or whether there's American Idol on TV. It will actively seek out ways in which to be disengaged because it doesn't want to know. It knows and it doesn't want to know. Ann, what you're suggesting is that if we paid less attention to the alleged embezzler, we would pay more attention to the war. People will find other, they will, we'll be talking about the astronaut and the diaper love triangle.
I hope your guest today has some solutions for us.
Well, I hope so, too, but okay. She may be... There are many problems and very few solutions to the problems, but I see what you're saying, and I'm going to take exception to it, because if it isn't one distraction, it's going to be 50 others. People really don't want to know. They want to know, they already know, and they don't want to know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
349, I think I made her sad. Jennifer in El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I am very well, thank you.
Good. About the food section, I think the food section is, or their idea of the food section is to be about food itself, you know, apples and oranges and whatnot. And it used to be called the style section.
I remember when it was when Elaine Corn had something to do with that section. I don't know, it seemed like it was a way better section when I lived here last time.
Anyway, the restaurant reviews, the things that you're thinking that you're missing, they put those in the Friday ticket section.
No, I mean food stories. You look at the San Francisco Chronicle's food section, which comes out on Wednesdays, and you'll see recipes, you'll see all kinds of great stuff. You'll see restaurant dish, you know, which tells you whose restaurants are opening and who's closing and which chefs are moving here and there. I mean, it's really a very vibrant section, and it's a high-quality section, and there's baking, and there's cooking, and there's tons of recipes. And this is really just a kind of an anemic section that probably has been shoved onto the backs of too few people to do and to put out. Well,
Sally Stone has been doing it forever, and it's just, you're right. I mean, you're right about it being anemic. I just wanted to point out that, like, restaurant reviews are typically in the Friday thing.
Okay, yeah. No, I see them in there. I think sometimes you see them in the Sunday, too, don't you? Counterintelligence.
Sunday, other section, whatever that is, I forget.
Yeah. I mean, you do see some of those things. But this section could really, visually, graphically, it needs some work. It needs a lot of work, and it could be so wonderful, and it really could take, slide in on the foodie trend that's happening in Sacramento and the fact that we're just down the pike from Davis and we're just down the pike from the Napa Valley.
No, I totally agree with you on that.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jennifer. I appreciate the heads up. 349-1320, 866, 2613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Weather, we have lows tonight right around 33. Chances of more scattered showers on through the next couple of days. We're going to see highs tomorrow right around 57. Beating the traffic with News 10, southbound I-5. Just south of Del Paso Road, there's a two-car crash. Eastbound 50 at Ponderosa Road, the pedestrian looks like there's a car right above it out of gas. Twin Cities Road at northbound I-5, we have a dog in the middle of the roadway. Oh, lambs, too. We have some little lambies in the roadway, so stay clear of that. Enid Live and more of your calls will continue. I'm Lisa West at AM 1320 KCTC.
It's Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. It's Full Frontal Radio.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Change, Bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 333 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. You know, it sounds like somebody was having a bad reflux moment there, that deep sound. I don't mean to diss Gwen Schoen. God bless her. But she's got to put this whole thing together, this anemic food section. And too much, I think, falls on her, and there's not enough other stuff going on. And I think that's what the Bee ought to be doing. We're talking about what makes a newspaper a great newspaper. 349-1320-866-2613-20. Let me elaborate on that, because there are a couple of other trends that are going on. And let me remind you also, we'll be talking with Antonia Yuhas, I think, if all goes well, in the next hour, And the book is called The Bush Agenda: Invading the World One Economy at a Time. And she's taken four different companies and tracked those companies and what happens with the Bush agenda. And I think you're going to want to hear this because I found it fascinating when I heard what she had to say. So here we are. The Nation magazine had done a piece on, you know, what it takes to have good newspapers. And I read this piece and, you know, why don't we have good newspapers? And one of the things that becomes obvious is that there is a tradition in other countries that supports thinking and newspapers. And McClatchy, for example, sells the Minneapolis Star Tribune for less than half of what it paid for it 8 years ago. It was a drag on the bottom line. We felt we could do better without it, declared Gary Pruitt. McClatchy's CEO, the new owner, a private equity firm that owns no other newspapers, is not expected to raise journalistic standards, even if the new overseers claim that they will maintain the Star Tribune as the great regional daily it has been for decades. Those buyers are not in it for the love of journalism or even for the influence that you get by buying a local paper. They are in it to make a profit by flipping the paper in 5 or 6 years, and the way to do that usually involves a lot of cutting in the meantime. I want to say that there has, you know, we don't value our newspapers, and really we don't value our intellectual lives. You have the school chief talking today about an academic gap, but I don't think there's a lot of peer support for what's smart. I don't think there's a lot of peer support for a fine education in most places. Maybe in the elite places, in the good neighborhoods, there still is. But as a country, I don't think that we've paid a lot of, and I don't even know if we're paying lip service to it. It's just not in what we're inhaling. There has been in the field of journalism a hemorrhaging of journalism jobs as reporters and editors join manufacturing workers in the ranks of, quote, disposable Americans. More than 44,000 news industry employees, at least 34,000 of them journalists, have lost their jobs over the past 5 years. Roughly 200 jobs have been cut at the Chicago Tribune over the last year. The Akron Beacon Journal, a Pulitzer Prize-winning Ohio daily that once set the standard in the state for investigative journalism, has slashed newsroom jobs by 25%. The San Jose Mercury News is in the process of shedding 17% of its newsroom positions. It was acquired by McClatchy in that Knight Ritter sale, and who owns it now? I think Dean Singleton in Denver, I think. And deep cuts are being implemented in Denver, Pittsburgh, St. Paul, Philadelphia, and dozens of smaller cities where traditional beats, labor, farm, federal courts are disappearing as retiring reporters are not replaced. This is going to have a profound effect. It isn't only the consolidation of the media, but these are now profit centers acquired. Newspapers are being acquired by these private equity firms. They flip them. They want to cut them. They want to cannibalize them. They want to gouge them out, get every top, you know, every penny they can, squeeze every penny they can out of them, and then flip them for a profit 5 or 6 years down the pike. What does this do to this country? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Bernard in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi, Enid. Great to be on.
Thank you.
Say, my experience with the Bee, I think it's been mixed. It's pretty good paper sometimes, really. But we used to have television programs that access Sacramento, and they took them out of the paper, and the public channels. And well, I investigated that, and I found out it saves them about $300 a day.
Wait a minute. Give me this again. Tell me.
It's been a long time. I don't remember the details. Maybe like 6, 8 years ago. But at one time, the Bee used to carry Access Sacramento. And then they took it out of the paper. And naturally, people that had television programs on Access tried to get their schedule back in the Bee. And the Bee
wouldn't do it. Now, how does the Bee save money by not running it?
Yes,
how does it, Bernard? Listen to me. How does the Bee save money by not running the Access schedule?
Well, it takes like, you know, 2 or 3 column inches a day, not much, but it's just an incremental change, and then plus it has to take time to update, make sure they got it right.
Right.
So anyhow, that's what I called the Bee about that 2 or 3, and they told me, well, it saves money, and they're not going to. They're not going to change that. That's what I was told by somebody at the Bee after repeated calls. That's what they finally told me.
Okay. I thank you very much for calling. 349-1320-866-2613-20. Mike and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
I am very well. Thank you.
Hey, I would like to comment on the Bush agenda. You've been talking about news.
Well, you've got to listen to what she has to say. She's going to be the Bush agenda. The author of the Bush agenda will be joining us in the next hour.
I know that. I'll be listening.
Okay.
But what I wanted to say was I have a feeling what she's going to say. And what I want to comment on is with regard to newspapers and how dumbed down they have become and how corporate, even the point where our food section is really nothing more, nothing less and nothing more than a glorified advertisement for what's on sale at Raley's or Bel Air or Safeway, you know, or whatever, and what they happen to have on sale that week. You know, I cannot think for the life of me of one aspect of our lives, of anything, any item under the sun that the Bush agenda hasn't screwed up beyond recognition.
Wait a minute. I'm going to jump in here, Mike. This is forget the Bush agenda here. This is us, too. We are allowing it to happen. We are happy participants. We're happy to be as anti-intellectual as possible. We're happy to go shopping and watch American Idol. The whole idea of what's smart and engaging. I mean, I think that's why shows like Enid Live and what we're providing for you here on AM 1320 radio stations are important because we really value creativity. Imagination, intelligence here, but I don't know a lot of places that value it or play to it. Nobody is pandering to it. Everybody's pandering to the lowest common denominator, and it isn't only coming from the newspapers. It's coming from us. It's a two-way street here. It's not just coming from some, you know, we're dancing in each other's arms is what I think.
Well, a couple of things. You know, first, I'm not saying at all, you know, that you're station or that your show or anything else is in any way diminished. In fact, that the opposite is true. Also, I'm not saying at all that it's us. Okay, when you say us, I hope you're not speaking for yourself. I mean, it's not me.
Well, it's a lot of us. It's a preponderance. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's not the very wonderful and erudite and wacky and really smart listeners to Enid Live and AM 1320. But the predominant tone and the tenor in this country, it is not considered cool unless you really live in a great neighborhood and all your friends are going to great schools and you're hoping all to go to the best schools in the country. It is not considered cool to be smart. Harder to be well-read and from the way I read it, the way I see it, what I see going down. And that used to be, and if you remember, earlier in the week, a friend of mine sent me, my friend Valerie sent me a graduation test, how to get out of the eighth grade in 1895 in Salina, Kansas. And I'm telling you, I think many of us who have degrees and maybe even graduate degrees would be very hard-pressed to answer a lot of those questions, and this was just an eighth grade test.
Well, you just listed a lot of the things that so many of us out here are fighting against, and fighting against this agenda, and trying to do whatever we can to make sure that this so-called majority of idiots doesn't hold.
Well, so far, Mike, I'm afraid they're winning. But I think what she's going to be talking about is more economic, and you're going to hear what she has to say. So I would say stick with us in the 4 o'clock hour and listen to her if you're able to do it.
Enid, without hope, we have nothing.
Here's what I want to say. I like the stock market. The stock market has been defined as an oscillation between optimism and pessimism, and your goddess probably fits that definition. Sometimes I'm really optimistic, and sometimes I'm really pessimistic for us. I wonder if the country sometimes hasn't jumped the shark. But that said, I think that it is still we the people. We still have this immense power in our hands. If we can harness that power, if we can keep from being disengaged and disheartened and keep from being cynical, which is exactly the requirement that we have in our daily lives. Everybody has challenges. Listen, if you could figure it all out in the first 5 years of your life, what would you do for the next 85? You wouldn't have anything to do. So these challenges come up, and the measure of the quality of your life and how you have acquitted yourself is how you dance with what is dealt to you. So we, as a people, with the whatever our emotional tenor is, whatever our political tenor is right now, the hand that we are dealt is this administration, these sets of circumstances, this failed war. What are we going to do with it? Well, we can be cynical. We can be pessimistic. We can say we've jumped the shark, and all of that is probably true. On the other hand, you get up, you are optimistic because you know what? Today you're going to roll up your sleeves, and you're going to try to chip away at this, and you're going to try and make a difference. And if you don't make enough of a difference today, tomorrow you're going to get up and you're going to roll up your sleeves and you're going to try and chip away and you're going to try and make a difference. It's what we do in our personal lives, and I think it's what we can do in our public lives together.
Molly Ivins, the other day, who passed away, practically told us with her dying breath not to give up.
Don't give up.
And I believe that what that lady said and so many other things that she said are true about the future. You know, and I'm hoping that people out there aren't listening to this and getting the impression that we are somehow just going to roll over to the Bush administration.
Well, it's going to be up to us. It's not going to be whether somebody thinks we're going to roll over. It's what we do, not what we say we're going to do. And we got to roll up our sleeves and make it happen. Not talking the talk. Mike, it is walking the walk, and I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West on AM 1320 KCTC.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have lows tonight right around 33. Highs coming up tomorrow, 57. And it looks like we might see some showers and thunderstorms on through the weekend. Well, showers, scattered showers, it looks like. And we'll beat the traffic with News 10 at AM 1320 KCTC.
Watch out for a crash corner of Morse Avenue and Cottage Way, and you're going to see some slowing southbound 5 just south of Del Castle Road. Got a disabled vehicle there. People taking a look at that.
Hi, this is Randy Rosen. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Change Bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And we're talking about newspapers. We're talking about newspaper jobs vanishing. We're talking about journalism jobs vanishing. It's not a function of, merely a function of, say, the, you know, this agenda, that agenda, media consolidation. We've allowed this stuff to happen. Where are we to scream about it? Why are we allowing a disengagement to go on? And then when you have a school chief like Jack O'Connell talking about the achievement gap among low-income and minority students, it isn't only what happens in the schoolroom. It's also what happens in families. And I think that when you and I were going to school and then when the people we know were going to school, that your family read to you, your family, and a lot of families had books. It was important. Education was always seen as the way up and out, particularly if you were an immigrant, if you were in the lower rungs of the economic ladder. This is what really mattered. And today, you know, everybody wants the credential, the educational credential, but do they actually want to have learned anything is the question. I don't think we value intelligence or intellectualism the way we once did. Smart no longer counts culturally the way it once did. People aren't wanting to grow up to be somebody like Norman Mailer or Ernest Hemingway or a writer or you're lucky to get your book sold. You're lucky not to wind up at what they call a mid-list author. You're lucky to, you know, because what the publishing houses, because a readership sales are down, they want only blockbusters. The B, because its circulation is flat or down and its revenues haven't been as perky as they had hoped, although it looks like they were up a little bit, but they took a big hit on the sale of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, which seems to me they could have waited longer, but maybe there were other reasons. Maybe they could take tax write-offs. Maybe there were concessions that they could get by selling it for, what, less than half of what they paid for it? Is that a great business decision? Why would the CEO then get a seven-figure bonus? Maybe because the board believes that things would be much worse under somebody less adept, that the newspaper business is this bad. You know, I can think of 10 ways to make the B something that everybody's going to want to read every single day, but it will, you know, cost a few bucks, and I'm sure nobody wants to hear my thoughts on it. But you can weigh in on it. I just think that we don't care as much about being smart. I don't think that we are as engaged. I don't think that being intellectual or intelligent counts the way it once did. In fact, you're supposed to be cool, and with icons like Paris Hilton or Britney Spears, the dumber and richer, the better, is all I can think of. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West on AM 1320 KCTC.
Thank you very much, Enid. Tonight, scattered showers. Obviously, we're going to see it. It was just beautiful, I think, on the way here today. And 33 for the low. Highs coming up tomorrow. We're going to see 57. We are sitting at, what is the current temperature at the moment? I think we're right around 58 with some light rain we're going to see on through this evening. Northbound 99 at Fruit Ridge Road, checking to beat the traffic. Lake with News 10. South on I-5, just south of J Street, there's a three-car crash. And south on Cap City Freeway, just north of P Street, we have a two-car crash slowing things down. I'm Lisa West, and beating the traffic with News 10. Enid Live and more of your calls coming up at AM 1320 KCTC.
Watch out for a crash corner.
Gentlemen, I'm the moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Attention, procrastinate.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Change, Bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No. Just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Sacramento's Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
As the astronaut charged with attempted murder returns to Houston,
NASA's first public comment on the Lisa Nowak case. I'm Peter King in Orlando.
Five Americans charged with Iraq reconstruction fraud.
These individuals use the CPA funds as their own personal ATM machines.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Astronaut Lisa Marie Nowak returned to Houston today, where she had a medical evaluation at the Johnson Space Center. It's not clear if that included psychological testing, but her bosses are already taking a hard look at the way they screen candidates for spaceflight. CBS News correspondent Peter King has the latest.
NASA isn't saying much about Lisa Nowak's arrest.
We do not know where the facts and circumstances of this case will lead.
But Associate Administrator Shanna Dale says the agency will cooperate with the investigation and
initiate a review of existing psychological screening for admittance into the astronaut corps and a review of the nature and extent to which we do ongoing psychological assessments during an astronaut's career at NASA.
And another official says talk of Nowak's career being over is just speculation. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Now this.
Wouldn't it feel great if just once someone said to you, hey, you know what I noticed? You're a really good driver. But no one does. They take your impressive skills for granted. Well, Progressive will tell you. They're willing to say, yes, you are a good driver, and we're giving you a special rate, a special lower rate. You could save over $400 when you switch, just for being a good driver.
Good driver savings from Progressive. Switch today at Progressive.com. Progressive. It's about you, and it's about time.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available everywhere but Massachusetts. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This Valentine's Day, send your sweetheart the gift that shines above all others. Name a star after them. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will name a star after your sweetheart and send a beautiful gift package. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for this year's hottest Valentine's Day gift.
CBS News has learned the Marine transport helicopter that crashed today northwest of Baghdad was shot down. All seven people aboard were killed. A group linked to Al-Qaeda, Islamic State in Iraq, has claimed responsibility. This makes five U.S. military aircraft lost in less than 3 weeks. It's believed that all of them were taken down by hostile fire. Yesterday we heard about billions of dollars in cash distributed in Iraq right after the invasion. Today there's a story of bid rigging on Iraqi reconstruction projects.
Five Americans, including three Army officers, allegedly worked with one civilian and two military men already convicted to dole out contracts based on bribes listed by Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty.
More than $1 million in cash, a Cadillac Escalade, a Lexus.
Other cars, even a private airplane. A lot of the reconstruction work wasn't done. In effect, over $3 million stolen. A special inspector for Iraq projects, Stuart Bowen.
We are rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse in Iraq where we find it.
Many in Congress say there's been too much waste. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
The Pentagon wanted $100 million to build a high-security courthouse at Guantanamo Bay for the trials of suspected terrorists. But now, CBS News correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports that plan is on hold.
The Defense Department has withdrawn the original emergency funding request. They got a lot of opposition to that from both Democrats and Republicans in Congress who said this isn't an emergency. That appears to be an extravagant expense. And so that is now off the table.
Until now, the diet drug Zenical has only been available by prescription. But today, the Food and Drug Administration approved sales of a lower dose version over the counter.
It is a fat blocker. It blocks about 25% of fat calories from being absorbed in the gut.
Carolina Povian at Boston University Medical School is a consultant to GlaxoSmithKline, the drug's maker. She says people taking the drug should also diet and exercise. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports today's star witness at the Scooter Libby trial contradicted the former White House aide.
Libby claims that NBC Washington bureau chief Tim Russert was the one who told him that Joseph Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame Wilson, worked at the CIA. But under questioning from prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, Russert testified that would have been impossible because he said he didn't know that until several days later when he read it in a column by journalist Robert Novak. Libby had called Russert to complain about references to him on an MSNBC talk show.
Libby's charged with lying to the FBI and obstructing the investigation into the leak that outed Valerie Plame Wilson as a CIA officer. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays, Mondays through Fridays, on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. You can join the conversation. It's easy to do it. It's toll-free, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com, and you can email me, Enid at kctc.com. Joining us in this segment is the author of a new book called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. I heard her being interviewed, over the weekend or last weekend by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Bobby Kennedy. And the information was so fascinating, I thought we have got to have her on. And at the moment, she's in San Francisco. Antonio Yuhas is the author of the book, The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. Antonio, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Talk to me about what is the Bush agenda? What is the thesis of the book you have written?
Well, the thesis is that the Bush administration has worked hand in hand and in some cases quite successfully with a small handful of U.S. corporations to advance their interests, but also those interests represent a broader framework for this administration that has stated that its ultimate goal is an American empire, very much like that of the Roman Empire, but that rather than build this empire in the name of Rome, which did something called the Pax Romana, the idea that Rome was such a militarily and economically dominant power that it guaranteed world peace, the Bushies are interested in very limited economic and political goals that have everything to do with U.S. corporations and their own power, and very little to do with world peace or even American peace.
You talk about four different corporations. Talk to me about which four of those are and what the relationship is with the Bush administration.
Well, first I point out that the Bush administration is the first administration in U.S. history where the president, vice president, and secretary of state are all former oil or energy company officials. In fact, both the president and the secretary of state have more experience, at least when they came into office, running oil companies than they did working for the federal government. So Bush and Condoleezza Rice both come out directly out of the oil sector. Condoleezza Rice, it's very well known that she had a Chevron oil tanker named after her.
Yeah, but she comes out of academe. She sat on the board of Chevron.
10 years on the board of Chevron.
Right.
As the head of their policy committee.
Okay.
Intimately connected to this industry.
Okay.
And remains so. Her expertise is the former Soviet Union, as I'm sure your listeners know, but that expertise has been translated into her detailed knowledge of the Caspian region and its oil reserves, and that's the key role that she played for Chevron. The oil industry is key. Chevron Oil Company in particular, obviously with Vice President Cheney, the energy sector in the name of Halliburton, which are two key companies. The other two that I focus on are Lockheed Martin, the largest weapons exporter in the world, which also happens to have 16 former and current executives that serve in the Bush administration, a literally unprecedented umbilical link.
Well, and Dick Cheney's son-in-law has been a lobbyist, I think, for Lockheed Martin. Wasn't his wife on the board?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And the fourth company is the Bechtel Corporation, California's very own Bechtel Corporation, and also Chevron is a California company. That has really played a key role both within the administration but also with a very long history and deep ties to the Republican Party. But what's also important about these four corporations isn't just their ties to this administration, but rather their long and historic interest in Iraq and the role that these companies have played in helping to push the United States into war with Iraq, they're profiting off of that war, and their interests in moving on into the rest of the region.
What do you know about their role in pushing us into war?
So there's some key important stories that I detail in the book. One of the most important or shocking to me, because I think most people are familiar with the deep interconnection between Cheney and Halliburton, but also all of the members of the Pentagon who went with Cheney over to Halliburton when he left government and then returned with him from Halliburton back into the U.S. government. Well, maybe just to tell this story really quickly. When Cheney was defense secretary, he thought it would be a really good idea to find out if key services of the U.S. military should be privatized. So he hired Halliburton to conduct a study to see if key services should be privatized. Halliburton, which also happened to be a company that performed those services, decided, lo and behold, that those services should be
privatized. What a surprise.
Privatized. And they got the first contract for a mass privatization of U.S. military services.
What year was this?
This was 1992.
Okay.
Then Cheney went over to Halliburton in 1995, as I said, bringing a tremendous amount of the military with him. The Clinton administration actually canceled this large contract, the log cap contract for Halliburton, and gave it to a more Democratic-friendly company. But then when Cheney came back to office, he gave Halliburton back that contract, and that contract has now been worth about $20 billion. But that's not a direct push into the war. The Bechtel Corporation, which has one of the longest histories of work in Iraq, has a great friend in former Secretary of State George Shultz, who spent a good deal of the 1980s after he had spent 8 years as president of Bechtel. He then became Ronald Reagan's Secretary of State. In that position, he lobbied directly, as did other members of Reagan's administration, with Saddam Hussein to open up U.S. economic access to Iraq. That's the famous picture of Donald Rumsfeld shaking Saddam Hussein's hand. The Bechtel Corporation was successful in winning a contract with Saddam Hussein to manage a petrochemical complex that made the precursor to mustard gas for Saddam Hussein, but was unsuccessful in its bid to build a pipeline to get oil out of Iraq. Now, fast forward a little bit, and George Shultz is again on the board of directors of Bechtel, and at the same time is the co-chair of a group called the Committee to Liberate Iraq. From this position, he lobbied aggressively and publicly and from the pages of every major American newspaper for an invasion of Iraq and an ouster of Saddam Hussein. That war took place, and Bechtel received one of the very first no-bid contracts, $2.8 billion for reconstruction in Iraq, and the hope, at least from Bechtel's perspective, that the war profit would just be the beginning, that they would ultimately be able to privatize these services in Iraq and then move out to the rest of the Middle East through the president's plan for a U.S. Middle East free trade area. That's just one of the best.
Let me jump in here and be devil's advocate, because all of these people float around with sitting on various boards of these large corporations, and they also go back and forth into and out of government. George Shultz was a dean at the University of Chicago. He married Charlotte Maillard Swig. He was with Bechtel, then he was in government, now he's with Bechtel. I mean, is there something where it's just sort of in the air and then these people get contracts, or are you saying it was a definite thing? Because I'm thinking it's less definite than it's sort of in the air.
What's in the air is a clear intent of this administration to use the U.S. military to advance very specific corporate goals. And those goals are intimately tied into oil. So Bechtel.
All right, so what are the goals? Tell me what those goals are.
The goals are to gain greater access and access to U.S. corporations to as many markets as possible, not a new goal, at all for the U.S. government. But the Bush administration is unique in two ways. It doesn't work on behalf of all corporations. It has a very specific set of corporations that it works on behalf of, and those tend to be its friends or corporations that are connected to it. It also is using the military in an incredibly unique way in modern American history to advance those goals. So in Iraq...
How is it using the military? You're making a lot of specific allegations, but what you're making a lot of allegations that are general, but how is it using the military, and what are the goals?
The goals are the access, the money, but also the power that comes from access and money. It's also greed. And what I, some of the specifics I point to are, it's an absolute fallacy that there was no post-war plan for Iraq. There was a very clear plan. It was written by a private company in contract with the Bush administration, a company called Bearing Point. Mm-hmm. It was ready prior to the invasion, and it was then implemented to the letter by Paul Bremer, the head of the U.S. occupation government of Iraq.
All right, and what was that plan?
To rewrite Iraq's economic and political infrastructure to ensure a free rein for U.S. corporations. So rules that opened up, made it impossible for Iraqis to give preference to Iraqi companies or Iraqi workers in the reconstruction, to make it so that U.S. companies could have access to any sector of the Iraqi economy. They would not have to partner with Iraqi businesses. They wouldn't have to use Iraqi products. They wouldn't have to hire Iraqi workers. They would not have to invest any of their money locally. The door was opened for full privatization of the economy. U.S. contractors would not be held liable to Iraqi laws. The tax structure was shifted to reduce taxes on corporations by 25%. And the door was opened. U.S. companies came in. 150 of them received $50 billion for reconstruction work. Many of those contracts were no bid, no competition.
Well, we know that the people who were supposed to set up the stock market were 21-year-olds with no experience whatsoever, people who just graduated from college, who were Bush loyalists.
Yeah, there were.
So how is that going to fit into this plan? How is that going to make Iraq safe for the corporations?
Well, they did a fine job, at least initially, in getting the stock market up and running. There's two, well, first of all, the benefits have already come. They've received the $50 billion, and they haven't been held remotely accountable for the utter failure that's taken place in Iraq. Their goal was not nuts and bolts rebuilding, getting systems up and running. Their goal was, first of all, to maximize their profits. They had, many of them, cost-plus fixed-fee contracts, which meant regardless how much they spent up to a certain ceiling, all of their costs would be paid back plus a fixed rate of profit. So many of them went in, took their time, conducted assessments, built or tried to build very fancy systems that would cost a lot and would be useful for them if they privatized the systems down the road. Also to showcase their skills as the U.S. Middle East Free Trade Area went forward. That time lost, the lack of services provided, the fact that U.S. companies came in and received billions of dollars, turned the Iraqis against the corporations just as they had been turned against the occupation and made the corporations the target of the violent insurgency.
My guest is Antonia Juhas. The book is called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. Antonia is a leading expert on international trade and finance policy, and you have served as a congressional aide and as the project director of the International Forum on Globalization.
And I'm currently a visiting scholar at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C.
You told a story about, was it Halliburton who was charged with delivering, oh, I don't know, something like $82,000 worth of fuel in Iraq and charged the government $27 million for it? My numbers are sort of off, but what was the story?
Yeah, you know, and I have to say, I am not as worried about the pricing scandals. There's been a lot of attention played on Halliburton's overcharging, which is definitely a problematic. Halliburton, I think, even more worrisome than overcharging the U.S. taxpayer for fuel, provided U.S. soldiers with contaminated water and,
right,
and raw or spoiled food and horribly was unable to provide for its workers, most of which it shipped in from Pakistan and other areas, not using Iraqis out of fear of what the Iraqis might do in that position. You know, frankly, to me, that's almost to be expected. You put in a private company, you give them a cost-plus six-free contract, and you don't observe them, they're going to abuse the
system. But what were the numbers? They were so astonishing that I was just stopped cold.
I'm not positive off the top of my head what the numbers are. I believe they charged $86 million over for the fuel. What upsets me and what fits into, to me, the larger agenda here is the access that was provided to these companies and then what the goal was. So I think one thing was to make corporations happy. The other was a larger goal where you have weapons, infrastructure, and oil companies all fit into one set motion.
Let me ask you a question. How could it advance their goal to sell tainted water to U.S. troops? Was that deliberate? They just didn't care, whatever the easy thing was to do? What was that all about? And why does that advance their even the public relations part of their usefulness in the war effort?
An expectation that it's not going to be caught. Someone down the line who made a poor choice, a decision up above that they were simply going to maximize profits. And the expectation that it's not going to be caught by the public. Halliburton is a private corporation that has one goal. It is to maximize profits for its shareholders. It makes poor decisions within that structure, and it makes some good decisions in that structure. If you're a shareholder in Halliburton, you're doing quite well right now. Stocks are way up. And
so is Lockheed Martin way up. I don't know about, and Chevron should be way up because oil profits are huge, and Bechtel always seems to do very well. So your point, Antonia, tell me what the larger point is. You're saying that what's new here is that this administration has singled out four corporations for their political loyalty, for their the revolving door aspect of everybody's relationship with these four corporations.
No, so the larger point, and it isn't just these four corporations, but they're key in understanding what's happening in Iraq. So we've got three trends: defense, oil, infrastructure. The larger goal of the Bush administration, as is stated quite clearly in its own documents, is control of Iraq's oil, the second largest oil reserves in the world. Some people believe the largest reserves of oil in the world. If we just look at in the short history, and the book goes much farther back than this, we can look at 10 days into the first Bush administration, or the first administration of this president. Cheney organizes the Cheney Energy Task Force.
Right, and he has never said who. So, okay.
Well, we do know who was there because there have been some court papers that have come out. And who was there? Halliburton, Bechtel, Chevron, Exxon, Marathon, Conoco. These companies mapped out, and we've seen these documents. They're on many websites, and they're in my book. A map that said foreign suitors to Iraqi oil. Now, these were companies from other countries that were signing contracts with Saddam Hussein, and the U.S. was being shut out. And what's key about this moment in time is that the sanctions were in place, and Saddam Hussein was running around trying to find a company, particularly one within the Security Council, that would take a stand against the sanctions. He found several companies that would sign contracts, but none which would go to work and directly affront the sanctions regime. But the writing was very clearly on the wall. The American public and the global public was turning against sanctions. Their brutal impact was being made far too clear. If the sanctions were removed while Saddam Hussein was in power, all of those other companies from all of those other countries were going to get their hands on the greatest oil bonanza waiting in the world, and the U.S. was going to be shut out. Planning, as we know now, began for the Iraq War well before September 11th and within the first few days of the administration. And that planning included, in addition to the economic transformation I laid out, plans for a new oil infrastructure for Iraq, one that would open Iraq's oil infrastructure to private foreign corporations.
And where is that right now?
That law is now passed its first official hurdle through a negotiating committee in the Iraqi government. It's one of the benchmarks that the president listed on January 10th for the Iraqi government, that it has to pass this law. And it is actually was core within the Iraq Study Group's most recent report that Iraq needed to pass this law. And it takes Iraq's nationalized oil system and turns it into one that is all but privatized on terms not used anywhere in the world, terms incredibly favorable to private companies. And those companies that are hovering around the edges are Chevron, Exxon, Marathon, and Conoco, and highly detrimental to the Iraqi public, because it, in the most recent version, 70% of the profits go to the private oil companies and only 30% stay in Iraq.
My guest is Antonia Juhas. The book is called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. More as we continue. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Lows tonight, we're going to see right around 33. Highs coming up tomorrow, 57 with some scattered showers, 58. And our traffic looking a little slow, southbound 99, just north of Fruit Ridge Road. We're beating the traffic with News 10. Mack Road to Brookfield Road and southbound 99 at eastbound Florin Road. There's a three-car crash. Enid Live and more of your calls will continue. I'm Lisa West at AM 1320 KCTC.
Just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320.
Sacramento's Left Channel.
Welcome back.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Change Bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Well, we're all over it, and we are all over it with my guest, who is Antonia Juhas. Her new book is The Bush Agenda, Invading the World, One Economy at a Time. Antonia, so we are now in Iraq, and part of the reason we have gone to war is so that we can get our mitts on this oil. And we have not done a very good job, have we? Did they anticipate that it would be such a botch?
Well, what they here's what they did not.
How are we ahead of the game here? I don't get this part.
What the Bush administration did not anticipate was the Iraqi public's resistance to the invasion, or the American public's. What I think they thought, the Bush administration, was that because the Iraqis had essentially not resisted the terrors of the dictator Saddam Hussein, they wouldn't resist terrors of any future dictator either. And they were wrong. The Iraqi public has resisted and resisted profoundly to the presence of the invasion. What has worked is twofold. First of all, the economic transformation I described is locked in. It's locked in place. Iraq now has some of the most corporate-friendly laws on the books of any country in the world. It also very soon may have the most corporate-friendly oil system on the books except for the United States. And that has been successful.
What do you mean except for the United States? I'm not following you. And we don't have a lot of time. So you were telling me that there were three trends. So what do you mean except for the United States?
The United States has the most privatized oil system in the world. 90% of all the world's oil is under nationalized oil systems. That's the norm. What we have is very much not the norm. What the United States is trying to put in place in Iraq is most resembles what the United States has.
Okay, so we went. You said there were three trends that were that really defined our going into Iraq, this administration, and different from other wars that we have been part of. So, oil. We went in there for oil. What else? What were the other two?
The three trends that I had mentioned was the defense industry, engineering, and oil. That those three coming together. That's where we get the four corporations that I mentioned. The administration's interest in Iraq. Are oil, because that's worth trillions of dollars. But, of course, controlling Iraq's oil serves two other goals, and that's regional power and also, of course, global power. He who has the oil can deny it to those who want it or dole out how it's treated to others and helps the United States in its gambit with China and India.
So it sounds to me like oil was really number one here. Defense engineering and defense were sort of ancillary, maybe not, but it sort of sounds like they're ancillary to the oil.
They feed in.
Okay.
And they should be seen as a whole, in my mind. Oil stands out on the top because it's the big prize, but it takes the others to make it happen, and it takes the support of these industries to make it happen as well.
When you say that we are invading the world, or the Bush agenda is about invading the world one economy at a time, what do you see down the line? Iran next?
Iran definitely next. But there's two pieces to this puzzle. One is the military and the threat of military attacks to advance the agenda. That's, of course, happened in Iraq and is clearly being threatened in Iran and elsewhere. But more immediately is the free trade element, which is expanding the economic agenda, including the oil agenda, to the rest of the Middle East through the U.S. Middle East Free Trade Area, which the president announced 1 month after the invasion of Iraq. Countries were falling in line very, very quickly to sign up for this agreement out of fear of what had happened in Iraq. That process has slowed dramatically because of the Democrats taking control of the House, ultimately in charge of trade agreements.
We can argue forever about the chicken and the egg, and maybe the chicken and the egg were dancing with each other. We're dancing in each other's arms. I think they had an ideological perspective, and I think they also had an economic perspective, and those things all came together in Iraq.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. You have another, of course, trend in the administration, which is the trend that I would call the extremist Zionists, and their interests came together quite nicely with the corporatists and the imperialists in Iraq. And
what do you mean the extremist Zionists?
Those who are willing in the administration to go to any extreme to continue to support Israel and Israel's the role of Israel's government in the region. And
well, you know, I have to say something here. I am really sick of the hard left painting Israel as a huge demon. Israel has done a lot of things that aren't so hot, and so have the Palestinians, and so have their enemies. So I think there's plenty of blame to go around for everybody. And to have one country demonized strikes me as not a very accurate reading of what has what years of a lot of nuance and complication, decades of it in that region.
Well, you know, Israel has a very powerful role in the region, and certainly the extent to which particularly members of this administration have been willing to go to support that role has definitely garnered a tremendous amount of opposition to the administration, and certainly is part of the interest or motivating factors of the administration. And that's why I put extremists there, to the lengths to which they're willing to go.
Yeah, but
also,
your use of the term Zionist already says something about where you've put yourself on the political spectrum and the decisions and the judgments you have come to.
Mm-hmm.
It does, Antonia.
It does.
Yes, and I would say that if you were really, if you had, you know, there is so much complication in that region. Mm-hmm. There is, so to plunk yourself into one camp of it tells me that there's a lot of... well, there's a lot of prejudgment there without necessarily a complete incorporation of all the facts. And so on that one, I would have to call you out on that one.
But I think
what you've done here is to elucidate something that's kind of interesting. And if I were to ask you as we come to the period in the paragraph, what was the most astonishing thing, the thing that you were most surprised about when you did your research on this book?
You know, frankly, I wasn't surprised by much. I was surprised to see how clearly the oil agenda had been articulated early on by the administration, how little of a curtain there was before it. It just needed to be brought into light, and that's what I did in the writing of the book, and that surprised me. And the fact that it was so clearly articulated and yet not... brought out into the light by more people and more people opposing the war. Of course, the chant, No Blood for Oil, has been around for a very long time. It just hasn't been picked up and hasn't been listened to. Right now, the Bush administration is heralding quite loudly that it's willing to spend more blood for oil, and I think the American public is now responding.
But I think it's more complicated than simply blood for oil. I think it's ideological. I think it's oil. I think they had grandiose notions of reshaping the region. They were going to give it to their friends. They were going to give it to the people who go into and out of the revolving door. So I think to say it's oil is defines it too narrowly.
Well,
I think there's a great deal going on besides that. There are all the ways in which they rationalize it to themselves as well.
Sure, but as I said, oil is about many things, and of those things, I mentioned regional and global power and money. It's trillions of dollars to be made. Oil is an easy three-letter word to explain some complicated motivations, as you say, but complicated motivations that actually boil down to some very simplistic and easily challenged ideas.
Well, Antonia, I'm delighted that you joined us today. The book is called The Bush Agenda, Invading the World One Economy at a Time. Antonia Juhasz, thank you so much, Antonia. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have slow-moving traffic northbound I-5 at Sutterville Road, westbound 50 to southbound 99, and Rio Linda Boulevard at Elkhorn Boulevard. There's a three-car crash beating the traffic with News 10. Lows tonight, 48. We're going to see highs tomorrow and some scattered showers, 58. It's 58. And Enid Live and your calls coming up. I'm Lisa West at AM 1320 KCTC.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Danelle Nicotri.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Change Bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at SacRadioThon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
On the Wednesday edition of Enid Live, just loping along here. You can join the conversation, 349-1320-866-620-613-20. You've just missed an interview with Antonia Juhas, the Bush Agenda, which, you know what, I was disappointed. I've got to tell you. I think what she is arriving at is too simplistic. Yes, it's true that the administration is looking for oil, but I could not, maybe I was not asking the right questions, but I couldn't get the cut to the chase part. I couldn't get how what this administration is doing, particularly with these corporations, is something that we didn't already know about. I wasn't getting that part of it. And I have to tell you, this whole hard left assumption that Israel is the demon. Israel has been fighting for its life. Has Israel done things that aren't right? Yes. Things that we don't agree with? Yes. Has it been perfect? No. But to demonize one entity and everybody else is perfect, please, it can't be right. It's never right in life. You know, divorces happen, and it's usually six of one. You've all heard that cliche, six of one and half a dozen of the other. So for a researcher to come to all these conclusions in advance and then fix, you know, it's like what we've done in Iraq. It's fixing the policy around what you already wanted to do, not what needed to be done. So I'm getting that impression with this book. And when I heard Bobby Kennedy interview her, I thought I heard some great stuff. I mean, the part that didn't seem to worry Antonia about Halliburton charging $27 million for $82,000 worth of gas, I am outraged by that. I am completely outraged by that. I'm outraged at the no bid contracts. I'm outraged at the level of corruption. I am completely outraged by what is going on in this war. And you can comment. If you like the interview, that's great. If you like the book, go buy it. 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. It may have been me. Maybe I didn't ask the questions that get right into digging out what is unique about the Bush agenda, because I still don't quite know what it is that is going on with the Bush agenda that we didn't already know was going on. And what we were talking about earlier, I want to continue this conversation as a backdrop, because I think it's important. We've been talking about the bee. We've been talking about newspapers in general. We've been talking about what the state superintendent of schools has been talking about, that there's a great achievement gap going on. And I really think that there are some threads that tie all of these things together. I think we have become anti-intellectual. I think we don't care about smarts, at least in the popular culture. The truth of it is, anybody who runs the record companies, who runs the TV companies, the film studios, book publishing, the investment houses, anybody who really rises to the top, usually they're pretty smart, and usually smart is valued. But for some reason, in the popular culture, smart has become devalued. And so if you go to schools, you know, just ordinary schools, where here are teachers trying to impart the lessons that everybody's got to learn in school, they're having a really hard time. And they're having a hard time of it, not only because the schools are in crisis, but you have pop culture. You are fighting against both pop culture and parental neglect. Nobody wants to talk about this. But one of the difficulties, and if you are a teacher, if you're an educator, I want to hear from you on this. One of the difficulties is not only whatever is going on with schools and not enough money and, all kinds of, not enough teachers, not enough good teachers, no child left behind, blah, blah, blah. You have got kids coming to school now who've come in unprepared, whose parents are not overseeing what the homework and reading to them and getting them ready for kindergarten and first grade and teaching them numbers and all of that stuff. You have that happening in a lot of places. So you have parents not doing their jobs, a lot of single parents, parents who are stretched thin, a lot of economic pressures, a lot of issues along those lines, lack of community life. So if the parents couldn't do it, sometimes the neighbors did. Well, no neighbors, and now no grandparents and aunts and extended family and so on around. So you've got those issues. And you have got a pop culture that is actively dumb, that actively promotes the dumbest stuff, that is actively anti-smart or anti-intellectual. But the purveyors of the dumb stuff are smart, 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 as they always have been. And they are the ones raking in the money while everybody else revels in being, how stupid can you be? 3491320. David and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Well.
Good. Well, I don't even know where to start. I was going to comment on your interview, but I'm a school teacher myself here in Sacramento in the inner city, and there's just a myriad of things going on. And first of all, you're right about the being prepared for education based on the home. But that's not necessarily a new phenomenon. What I think is new is that everything's being measured, and the standards are such that during the first generation, when they first come to school, when they first get to this country, or you might even look at some.
You can't quantify it. I agree with you. These tests are ridiculous.
Yeah, and so what you're having...
And everybody is teaching, and everybody is now forced to teach the test, and so a lot is being lost.
Yeah, we test so often, and we teach the test so much. But my point is that, people from, and families from backgrounds, whether it's to do with immigrant families or poverty, have always struggled, and yet now they've raised the standards, like in California, the highest standards in the nation, and then they raised them so high to the point where, if they are by definition high standards, not everyone's going to reach them. And then they say, what's wrong with these teachers that they're not reaching these high standards?
Well, it's not the teacher's fault. And they've done research that tells us that the kids who come out of poverty, they don't have as much verbal interaction. And so by the time they're 3 years old, they're already behind. And it's going to take them a lot of years to catch up. At 3 years old, they're already behind, according to the research. David, we just have a couple of seconds in this segment. Did you want to comment on the interview?
Oh no! I actually enjoyed the interview. I wasn't at all. You had expected. You were disappointed. I mean, I think what she was saying has been true for a long time. It just emphasized in the Bush administration. I mean, since World War II, the United States and companies have been using intervention, military intervention, in order to grab land, like in Guatemala in '54, Nicaragua in the '60s and the '70s, El Salvador in the '80s. I can go on and on and on and about it, and that's nothing new. It's just the Bush administration is really overtly doing it, and
you know what? It's like greed. Everybody has always been greedy, but people took great care to pretend that they weren't greedy. Now they're happy to revel in it and tell you how greedy they are. There's no shame, and there's no prohibition anymore. No taboo.
You're absolutely right.
Hey, David, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have weather tonight, a little cloudy. Also, obviously, scattered showers are going to see for the next couple of days. 48 for the low on highs coming up tomorrow, 58. We're sitting at 58, beating the traffic with News 10.
Heads up if you're traveling southbound 99, just south of Florin Road, got a crash clearing there. And westbound 50 to the southbound 99 connector, watch for a stalled big rig.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320. Check out Great Finance.
Don't want to be an American idiot. all your change.
No, silly, not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. My heart knows better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking. Ooh. Ooh. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh. Ooh. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back. Just keep on walking.
Ooh. Ooh. When you're big, Meadows Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The enemy in Iraq seems to have changed tactics. For the fifth time in less than 3 weeks, a U.S. military aircraft has been taken down by ground fire. CBS News Chief Foreign Correspondent Lara Logan reports.
Burning wreckage in an open field northwest of Baghdad marked the spot where seven U.S. service members lost their lives today. CBS News has learned that their transport helicopter was shot down during what the military called routine operations. But before the U.S. could announce the cause of the crash, a jihadi website linked to Al-Qaeda was already declaring victory. It said, quote, the Air Defense Division of the Islamic State of Iraq has succeeded in shooting down and completely burning a Chinook helicopter.
A farmer in the area says he heard a missile fired just before the chopper crashed. Three Army Reserve officers and two American civilians are charged with taking bribes to steer Iraq reconstruction projects to a crooked operator.
They traded their integrity for cash, computers, and luxury automobiles.
FBI senior investigator Mike Mason. The contractor, Philip Bloom, has already pleaded guilty to paying more than $1 million in bribes for $8.6 million worth of reconstruction contracts. Opposition from Congress has put the brakes on a Pentagon plan to build a courthouse for the trials of suspected terrorists at Guantanamo Bay. CBS News has learned the $100 million project has been put on hold. NASA is still absorbing the news that one of its space veterans is charged with attempted murder.
As far as how the astronaut corps took this, I think folks were shocked and concerned.
Bob Cavanaugh is deputy director of the Johnson Space Center in Houston, where astronaut Lisa Marie Nowak had a medical evaluation when she returned today. In Florida, deputy NASA administrator Shana Dale announced officials will review psychological screening procedures.
In light of the current situation, determine whether there were any areas of concern, any leading indicators we might have picked up on based on Lisa Nowak's dealings with other astronauts or NASA employees.
Nowak was infatuated with fellow astronaut Bill Oefelein and allegedly tried to kill another woman in his life. Herbal weight loss pills are unproven, but CBS News correspondent Dan Revive says a prescription diet pill has been approved for over-the-counter sale.
The drug company GlaxoSmithKline predicts more than 5 million Americans will become regular users, paying over-the-counter about $15 a week. The company says the pill, called Ally, is meant to be allied with a healthy plan of exercise and reducing calories. Ally is a half-dose version of the prescription drug Xenical. They both reduce absorption of fat by the body. Almost 30% of fat in food is expelled as waste material.
The price of oil fell below $58 a barrel today. The Dow gained a fraction, closing at 12,666. The Nasdaq up 19 points. This is CBS News.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones? Or maybe just a rotation?
I can help.
No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get the Works Fuel Saver package on us. That's a Motocraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, and more. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
The people who practice medicine might not always practice full disclosure. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
How is your care affected when your doctor morally objects to a medical procedure? An eye-opening New England Journal of Medicine survey finds as many as 40 million Americans have doctors who feel no ethical obligation to disclose information about legal treatments they personally oppose. 3 of 10 doctors believe they're not required to refer the patient to someone else.
Patients understandably expect their doctors to provide them the full range of legal and medically approved practices.
But University of Chicago researcher Far Curlin says as technology advances, ethical dilemmas are growing.
And probably will lead to more negotiation between patients and physicians of how they're going to work together in these complex areas.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Facing trial in Arizona on drug charges, former heavyweight boxing champ Mike Tyson has checked himself into a drug treatment program. His lawyer says Tyson has various addictions. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Today is the usual, well, maybe not the usual, flea market of ideas. There's a lot of territory that I want to cover. And we sort of do it in a highly idiosyncratic way, which I think, well, I don't know, I think it sort of works. And I'm always... it's just I have no attention span, and I think you don't either. And it's the show. I like to call it a flea market of ideas, but it's also sort of a collage and a pastiche and a lot of other things. And what makes the conversation so really sensational is you, your participation. So let me encourage you to call if you've been thinking about it. If you're edging ever closer, please think about picking up the phone. It doesn't cost you anything. It's utterly toll free to call Enid Live. You could affect the dialogue. You could change people's minds. You could make us laugh. You could provide the amusing aside. You could be just as wacky as some of our wackiest callers, and we love it all. So here's the number, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320, both toll-free. You can email me, Enid, at kctc.com, and we stream live 1320leftchannel.com. We've been talking about a lot of different things, and let me start with the astronaut, the astronaut love triangle. That is the most fascinating story, and I've been talking about it in bits and pieces for the last couple of days. And one of the chilling details in that story is that the female astronaut, hoping to... in love with the male astronaut, who seemed not to be in love back, but he had another girlfriend who's also sort of in the space program doing something else. Lisa Nowak, who put a diaper on, she wore a diaper to drive 10 hours to confront her rival for this male astronaut's attention. And I thought, wow, what is that? That is a very chilling. And somebody pointed out that you've got to buy gas. So if you stop for gas, was she so intent on getting there that she also didn't want to use the restroom? And then it was also pointed out in a subsequent story that this is something that astronauts routinely do because they are wearing pressurized suits. And there are certain points in takeoff or landing where if you have to go to the bathroom, you cannot remove your suit. And so they have a fancy name for it, whether it's waste evacuation equipment that they wear or whatever, or diapers or Depends or who knows what they got. But they're used to doing things that way. Really odd. Really odd. And now NASA is conducting all these psychological tests on this woman. It'll be a convenient way to say that she had a meltdown moment, that she and her husband separated 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the neighbors are reporting that they heard China crashing around and loud voices emanating from the home several weeks ago. So I don't know where this is going to go. It's a very juicy, sort of embarrassing story. And I guess astronauts and military, they're not supposed to be fraternize with each other. So I guess that means they're not supposed to sleep with each other either, but apparently it does happen. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. This is madness. Madness. It's when you are fall in love with somebody and you are temporarily insane. I think some of us have been there sometimes, and thank goodness it never got as bad as the wig, the steel mallet, the tubing, the loaded BB gun, the mace or pepper spray, whatever she had there, the latex gloves, the bushy wig. I mean, this is a story. This is a story of somebody who was not thinking about how her career and her family's life was about to flame out. 349-1320. Gail in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gail.
Hi there. How you doing, my friend?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good lines that I know you would love.
What?
This is like this astronaut. I was watching her this morning.
Lust in space?
Sorry, really. I was watching this morning on CNN, and she's got her coat pulled over her head.
Yeah, seems like a perp.
There's never a burqa around when you need one. I knew you'd like that.
Thank you, Gail.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 349-1320. Everybody's having fun with, their double entendre. 349-1320. 866-620-1320. We're also talking about politics. And over the weekend, guess who's going to stand in for Hillary? You want to guess? At an event? Three guesses? Does Bill Clinton come to the top of mind? Well, it turns out that the GOP views Hillary as virtually unbeatable. Plus, Gloria Steinem had an op-ed piece in today's New York Times about why we should not talk about Hillary and Obama, who is trying to stop smoking, why we should not reference the fact that this would be the first black or the first woman. Mike in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mike.
Don't say bad things about Barack Obama, Radio Goddess. Because
why?
you've gotten this black conservative, somebody to vote for who's a Democrat, and you cannot criticize him. Joe Biden, even though he had a good Iraq plan, he's the only guy who articulated what to do with Iraq, split Iraq into three pieces, which I hope that the rest of the Democrats will go and do.
I'm not trying to malign Barack, but he is a smoker and he's trying to quit. And if he's going to be a green, if he's going to be anti-global warming and be a green candidate, how can he puff away?
You're not very good at helping your friends here. You don't like Hillary, so don't undermine Barack, please.
Okay.
Please don't do it.
All right. So am I not supposed to say that he smokes?
Yes, I guess that's okay. But, my goodness, I don't want Hillary because, in any way that Barack ends up on the ticket, if he's a vice president, I'll vote for him regardless of issues because I want that diversity in the White House. I think it will be good for black people. Even though I despise most of Democrat politics, I love listening
Democratic,
to you.
Democratic, Mike, politics. Be grammatically correct and don't be insulting
to Democratic Party, I despise most of what they stand for. But I like that Joe Biden, he at least has said what he's going to do.
I think he's DOA with the remarks that he made. You got to tape his mouth shut.
You shouldn't criticize Barack Obama either because bad things happen.
Well, so. I like Barack, and, you know, I've been a big fan of his from the beginning, and I'm delighted that you're listening to AM 1320 and your Radio Goddess, Mike, even though you and I don't agree on anything politically. I'm delighted. Thank you for doing it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. John in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi there. You know, regarding the case of the Esselon, attempted murder. I think she'd been watching too many James Bond movies, particularly on Moonraker, where the ending was showing the weightless lovemaking scene. I think she's probably, that's why she's interested in Esselon.
Well, I never saw. Oh, John, I never saw. Sex in Space or Lust in Space. I never saw that movie, but I'm going to.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go check out that DVD now.
Thank you, John. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Well, you know what? This is the equivalent of Mark Foley going into rehab. She's been evaluating her psychologically at NASA. So they don't want to look stupid like they can't. And here's what they said. They said, well, they last evaluated her, you know, in order to get into the program, they evaluate you at that time. And in her case, it's been about 10 years. People can change in 10 years. Well, they can change in 10 years. It's not easy to change. I mean, the changes that we want to make, this is where I think that Norman Mailer might be right, and there is a thing called Satan, the devil. The devil is not only in the details. The devil is in when you're trying to lose weight and you're at that last 10 pounds that you want to get off. But that's when the devil whispers in your ear very seductively, you know, you've lost so much weight. You've worked so hard today. You deserve chowing down on that vat of Ben and Jerry's or Häagen-Dazs. That's all right. Go ahead. It'll be okay. You'll be on your diet again tomorrow. And that's what, you know, that's the devil talking. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So she was, I don't, you know, so anyway, they are evaluating her. What will they say? She requires treatment. She's had a meltdown. Her marriage has melted down. And she transferred the affections from her husband to this male astronaut who sounds like as interested in her as she was in him. And she thought she could do away with the rival. And her attorney says she really didn't do anything wrong. And when you look at it, she didn't do anything wrong. She just had pepper spray. She sprayed the woman in the face with pepper spray. But let me ask you this. They just broke up a kiddie porn ring that is apparently the origins are in Eastern Europe. And story after story after story are guys who think they're going to meet up with a 12-year-old at the shopping mall that they've been canoodling with online, and that 12-year-old is always a 45-year-old male FBI agent. And these guys didn't do anything. These guys didn't have an affair with what they thought was a 12-year-old, because actually no 12-year-old existed. It was just a 45-year-old male FBI agent or sheriff or somebody in law enforcement. So no crime was committed, and they still get hauled off to the pokey big time. So this woman who had with her a loaded BB gun, pepper spray or mace, a steel mallet, tubing, latex gloves, garbage bags. And you know what? One of the men said, a male a professor of criminology or some crime maven, he said, women never think about these kind of details, that it's a guy thing. Excuse me, I don't think so. I think women are way more detail-oriented than men are typically. Do you want to weigh in on that? 349-1320. That for a girl and a top gun, she's like a top gun kind of test pilot, that she would think about all those details. Well, I think women tend to be more detail-oriented in general than men. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Michael and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Michael.
Hello, how you doing, Enid?
Doing well, thank you.
All right, hey, listen, I want to start off by saying I'm a Republican, and I listen to your show, and I appreciate your views, and I don't agree with you many times, but I just wanted to kind of touch base on...
Well, you know what? I have to tell you, it's not required. You're not required to agree with me. We're just
thrilled
that you want to participate. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I thank you for your opposing views, because it spurs great conversation. Just wanted to follow up on the No Child Left Behind. I'm confused simply because, as I recall, when it was signed, Ted Kennedy and George Bush were together, hugging each other, very excited for this, and I just don't understand where the opposition is coming.
I don't care what Ted Kennedy is in favor of, and that's really nice, but I think it's a horrible idea, this No Child Left Behind. First of all, it requires a lot of testing. People now, teachers are now being forced to teach to the test. It is an unfunded mandate. When you teach to the test, a lot of other things fall away, and I don't think it factors, our problems in education don't factor in some of the larger issues, which is that kids come to school without the kind of parental preparation that many of us had when we went to school, either because they're single parents or because English isn't the first language, or they're so poor they don't spend a lot of time. So you have kids who come to school and the schools are expected to do it all. Schools can't do it all. I mean, that's part of it. And you have a pop culture that is actively anti-intellectual, actively anti-smart. The dumber you are and the dumber you sound, the more successful you will be as far as pop culture is concerned, I think.
I agree with that to a certain extent, because I mean, as a father, I'm involved with my daughter's everyday life, and I expect to be, but I think that eventually you got to get to a point to where teachers have to be held accountable, and I think that this is one way of.
But it isn't only the teacher. You are sending kids into schools that are so badly prepared. I'm not saying, I think teaching is a hard job. And I'm not saying all teachers are brilliant, but I think the ones who stick it out pretty much, I think, are dedicated. And in general, they're a pretty good bunch. And to demonize teachers, it's like demonizing Israel for everything. It's not all the teachers' fault. It's not all Israel's fault. It's a combination of a lot of things happening at the same time.
Certainly, and I agree, too. But again, I think that, maybe this is a way of weeding out the bad seeds that are the teachers that aren't as good. And the ones that are good teachers will stand out. And it is a way of, instead of pushing children through the system with adequate teachers or below adequate teachers, it's a way to find out who's good and who's not. And it's a way to get rid of the ones that aren't good.
I don't think it's, if it does that, that's really nice. I doubt that it does. I think it constricts education. Education, let me give you two terms. The term we use a lot is rich and poor. You're rich if you had a lot of money, and you're poor if you don't. But, I think it impoverishes both of those terms. Rich, you can be so rich in so many things. You might not have very much money in the bank, but you can be so rich. And we have chintzed out the term rich to mean only money. We've impoverished it to mean only money. And we are impoverishing education to mean only what you get graded on and this little narrow spectrum of what you're taught in school. Education is your whole life. It's large. It's vast. You want to give students the tools. And I saw a study recently where You know, there are a lot of parents who are very, they get very unnerved by the idea that their kids might encounter pornography. And most kids apparently have encountered it, usually inadvertently. And since you cannot keep certain things from your kids, what you must do is you must give them the skills to deal with it when they encounter it. And that is what you do in education. That really is what it's all about. You give students, kids, the tools to deal with every what they're going to encounter in life. How to deal with creativity, how to develop their own creativity, their imagination, how to develop their curiosity, how to learn a new skill. I mean, all of that. And all of it is getting dumbed down into these dopey tests. That's my problem with this very narrow and mingy view that we now have of education.
Right. Well, again, I do agree to a certain point, but I think you also have to realize that, you know, there has somehow education has to be, education is being taught to the children, and there's a lot of children that aren't being given the skills.
Yeah, well, if you're going to evaluate the teachers, why don't we evaluate the parents? Maybe the parents are at fault, too. They're not they're not giving their kids the kind of prep these kids need.
Unfortunately, and I agree with you, actually, in that regard, but unfortunately, we can't do that, and with public schools and with the public...
Well, then you can't put it all onto the teachers and the schools. The schools can only do so much, unless if we want the schools to be in loco parentis, and if we want them to do everything, then we've got to fund them and create the kinds of programs that really make for the richest kinds of education, and right now we don't have it. And you know what else I'd like to see? I'd like to see what used to be called vocational training, what we now call, I think, tech training. I want to see more of that hands-on. I want programs where kids learn to be carpenters and artists and fix things and make things and create things. I would like to see more of that.
Right. And remember, when I was in school, we did have that to a certain degree. But, you know, and those are important skills. But, again, I think back to the No Child Left Behind and the testing, I think that somewhere the line had to be drawn and there has to be a standard up against which are tested.
Yeah, but this isn't the one, Michael, is what I would say. And you and I disagree on this one, but I'm delighted that you called. I hope you'll call us again, and thank you for doing it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Jerry and Sack. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Enid.
Welcome.
I'm an administrator in the Sacramento area, and I've been in this area for quite some time, and I wanted to weigh in on the issue of, you know, resources directed towards schools. I've had experience in other areas of the country as well. I was a principal in Connecticut, for example. And, you know, so often I think that, as you say, we take a beating in education for the things that we either do or don't do. But I think, too, that we in California, I don't feel that children are a priority in terms of funding. When I was back in Connecticut, I had $8,000 a student to spend, and this was 12 years ago. And, you know, now we're looking at, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 a student here currently. And so I just think that, you know, we just don't direct the resources to children. I'm not talking about sending those resources to salaries and things like that. I'm just talking about things that children need, whether it be other staff at school to provide for things that they need in terms of their education and so forth, and it's just something that I don't think happens here.
Let me jump in here, because I think you're right, and because we rank so low, I think we rank slightly above Mississippi in terms of where our students are in the state of California, this rich state of California, by the way, where more billionaires live than I think any other state in the union. What we do to compensate, you know, because we're so low on the one hand and we want to pretend that we're not, so now we create these impossible exit exams for students who can't come up to it. We haven't been there for them all the way through. So what we want to do to make ourselves feel like your graduation, your diploma means something, is to impose this preposterous exit exam on students whose language skills aren't there because English is their second language, and who the research, New York Times just did a big thing on the research. If kids are coming from impoverished backgrounds, by the time they're 3 years old, they're already so far behind. They don't have as many interactions with their parents. parents or mothers or fathers, and all the interactions help to develop these kids. And so by the time they're three, they're already so far behind that they may never catch up. So you are asking these kids who have already gotten one whammy to come up to it when you don't provide the remediation that's required, and then you give them a double whammy. So you really send them out feeling like they're the bottom of the curve.
And two, the rigorous curriculum in California that is just so, I think, onerous in some ways. I mean, the kinds of things that you and I may have been doing in first and second grade, they're doing in kindergarten today. And I think that children are, in a sense, we're robbing children of a really important piece of their childhood. And, disturbs me.
Well, I agree with you. Thank you so much for calling in, Jerry. I appreciate hearing your comments. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What are your comments? And wait till I share with you what some other countries are doing. So all of these things are, you know, there are these cultural tides that are sort of, there's a kind of confluence of them. The fact that newspaper circulation is down, that book sales are down, that thousands of reporters have lost their jobs. Jeff Zucker now is going to be heading up NBC, and he's going to have to cut hundreds of jobs. It's like the Beat, you know, they're gutting the product. In other countries, it's a very different thing, and it's going to be very different. We're going to encounter how smart and how able and how competitive and how creative and how productive those other countries are, and we're not going to be up to it. We had this brief and shining moment, but like the children of very rich parents, we got lazy, and all we cared about was getting fat and eating and, you know, fighting over a remote control and going shopping. We didn't care about exercising our brains and our bodies. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check traffic and weather together on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. And we've got lows tonight right around 38. It looks like we're going to see scattered showers on for the next couple of days. Highs coming up tomorrow, 58. Westbound 50 just east of Howe Avenue, we have a two-car crash. Douglas Boulevard and Cabot, there's a three-car crash there. In northbound Cap City Freeway just north of E Street, there's a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue. I'm Lisa West at AM 1320 KCTC.
To choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Change, Bennett. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Too much.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Wednesday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We do it 5 days a week, and we do it with your help, and when you participate, the conversation is just a better conversation. So, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. There's so much I want to share with you today. We're talking about education. There are all these programs for people who are struggling and very few programs for the gifted, and I think that's also revealing of what's going on in this country. Natalie in Fair Oaks, thanks for being so patient. Natalie, thanks for joining us, too. You're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid. I'm raising a grandson, and I had him in private school because I thought that if I paid money that it was going to make make it a better education for him. And all of a sudden, I started noticing that the teachers in the public schools had higher credentials than the teachers in the private schools.
Well, that's true. The credentialing process is different, but it doesn't mean one's better or worse than. Sometimes you can have you often have very good teachers in private schools.
That's true, and we did have some, but I think sometimes people look down at the public schools, and maybe they need to look more at the teacher's experience and his style of teaching. But one thing that I wanted.
So what did you do? Did you pull your grandchild out of private school and enroll him in public school?
Yes, I have him in public schools, and you know they're excellent. All the teachers, I meet with them all the time, and you know they're excellent teachers. Not that there weren't some very good teachers, as you were indicating in public schools. So, but I guess the point I want to make is just I wanted to support the public schools as much as Bush has supported the private schools and wanting to put money in the private schools. And I've wondered if this whole idea of No Child Left Behind is some kind of maneuver towards. You know, haven't heard talking much about it lately, but I wondered if it was a maneuver to say, well, we've got to get these kids in these other schools, because look at the public schools.
You know, this administration wants to give every kid who wants to get out of public school a check for $4,000 so that they can do it, and then they also want to do vouchers. I think one of the things that really binds us together as a society is everybody goes to the same school, whether you're, you know, rich, whether you're poor, whether you're middle class. In the small town where I grew up, everybody went to the same school, and we all went to the same high school. And there was a real range, and we all have known each other forever since, and it really is democracy in action. But this is an administration where the gap between the rich and the poor has gotten greater and greater and greater, and the middle class is shrinking.
I think when you pull money from the public schools, you're going to really weaken, and then you can say, look, I told you so. But if we put all our money in one area and strengthen it, we can provide the best education.
I agree with you, Natalie. Excellent point. Thank you for calling. And I want to say this, too. It isn't only about money, throwing money at the problem. You have to have the will. You have to have the will for it. It isn't simply about money. And I don't know if there's a will. You know, we pay a lot of lip service to education, but we're talking the talk, but I don't know if we're walking the walk. When I started, I was talking about newspapers. I was talking about the Bee's anemic food section, and here we are with a big influx of the Bay Area, a big thriving foodie scene here in Sacramento that's even more thriving than the last time I lived here. We are just down the pike from Davis, which has a world-class enology, you know, wine program. We are as close to the Napa Valley as the Bay Area is, and yet the Bee has this anemic food section. So we're talking about newspapers, and we're talking about, for example, the hemorrhaging of journalism jobs, which I think a lot of you are not aware of. Reporters and editors are joining manufacturer workers in the ranks of disposable Americans. We talked briefly about it, but let me elucidate a little bit. More than 44,000 news industry employees, at least 34,000 of them newspaper journalists, have lost their jobs over the past 5 years. Roughly 200 jobs have been cut at the Chicago Tribune over the past year. The Akron Beacon Journal, a Pulitzer Prize-winning Ohio Daily, has slashed newsroom jobs by 25%. This is the San Jose Merc is in the process of shedding 17%. In some cities, the numbers alone tell the stories. There are roughly half as many reporters covering Metro Philly, for example, as in 1980. The number of newspaper reporters there has fallen from 500 to 220. The pattern at the suburban papers around the city has been similar, though not as extreme. As recently as 1990, the Philadelphia Inquirer had 46 reporters covering the city. Today it has only 24. And the Bee has closed both its Los Angeles bureaus and its San Francisco bureau. So if you're wanting the latest on Gavin Newsom, you're getting the LA Times version of it in the Sacramento Bee. What it translates to is this. If we assume that the Inquirer reporters work normal schedules, there are substantial portions of any given week when fewer than five journalists provide primary coverage for a city of 1.4 million people. Major news stories are going untold. Vast stretches of a metropolis are being neglected, and the reporter-to-population ratio will soon worsen as plans are implemented to cut up to 17% of the remaining editorial jobs. So, you know, if you want to have a strong civic presence, you've got to have great newspapers, and you've got to have strong newspapers. And newspapers are so convinced. The editor, the owner of the New York Times, doesn't know if he'll still be publishing in print in 5 years hence. Everybody thinks that the next big thing is going to be the Internet. And I don't know if that's going to be entirely true. Nothing is as portable as a newspaper. You got to download a story. It takes you forever. You can just scan with your eyeballs stories and newspapers, and you can be it's more efficient in terms of time. It's way more portable. You don't have to schlep a computer around with you. Syndicated columnist, formerly syndicated, and our former friend Molly Ivins put it best when she says that newspapers aren't dying. Instead, they're committing suicide. She says, what really pisses me off is that this most remarkable business plan. Newspaper owners look at one another and say, gee, our rate of return is slipping a little bit. Let's solve the problem by making our product smaller and less helpful and less interesting. Never do something bold, edgy, or intelligent when there's a predictable and useless gimmick into which energy and resources can be dumped for a few years. So Molly Ivins' observation about the newspaper business is, the business isn't dying, it is committing suicide. And you have example after example after example. The most important work of journalism is thinking. And if you have too few people covering a beat, there isn't any room for people to be thinking, for people to be challenging in any intellectual way. European publishers have been much more interested in investing in radical redesigns of paper, in new printing and distribution systems. And by the way, the circulation is not down in European publications, in European newspapers. And they have long recognized in Europe that something that is close to unimaginable to those who guide American newspapering, that taking strong front-page stands on issues such as genetic modification of food, such as global warming, becoming what the British refer to as campaigning newspaper, does not inspire charges of bias, but instead draws readers to groundbreaking journalism. In other words, when the papers have taken a bold stand, they have drawn readers. When they're not trying to kill themselves by committing suicide, by cutting the bureaus, by cutting the reporting staff. While the Chicago Trib gets high marks for its attention to the death penalty issue, newspapers like Britain's Independent embark on dozens of campaigns in the course of a year, even going so far as to give their front pages over to promotions of rallies and protest marches against everything from poverty in Africa to the war in Iraq. But it's not just that European publishers are more engaged and adventurous. European citizens and their governments have a tradition of taking seriously the role newspaper journalism plays in building a civil and democratic society. In Norway, Sweden, and Finland, where internet use is high and strong public broadcasting systems provide sound radio and TV alternatives, newspapers are in a dramatically better position than in the U.S., in part because of long-standing government commitments to encourage competition, diversity, and quality. In Norway, for instance, the media authority, an administrative body within the country's cultural affairs ministry, uses public subsidies to encourage the development of local newspapers that compete with bigger established papers. We don't do that here. We've got a pop culture that's actively dumb and anti-smart and anti-intellectual. You've got an administration that has a vested interest in keeping us as dumb and disengaged as possible, while the few smart people become more rapacious because they can own everything and run everything, because it really takes brains to do all of that. Newspaper circulation is declining, and newspaper publishers greedy and so accustomed to their 20% profit margins, you know, if it slips just a little bit, they get nervous and they want to dump, for example, a star property like the Minneapolis Star Tribune for less than half of what McClatchy paid for it. They dump it to some private equity group that only wants to make money, that doesn't care about journalism, that's going to flip it and strip it of everything that it possibly can. I mean, it's really a sad story. And it has a tremendous bearing on what we learn about in this society. You and I maybe are interested and curious, and so therefore we go to the net, we do a lot of our own research. But most Americans, I think, do not. I think they're distracted. I think it takes two salaries to do what one used to. People are exhausted. They don't go searching the net. They catch a few minutes of television news, which is extremely superficial, and even TV news shows are declining in ratings. They catch a little bit of the radio. If they're listening, that might be to conservative talk radio, so you can imagine how much truth is emitted from that particular and odious channel. And if you have found us, you found a really solid attempt to bring you as much as we possibly can every single day. But I think that's not what you typically find in the media. And if you're not reading a newspaper, God knows, the publishers are giving you fewer and fewer reasons to actually plunk your 50 cents down into the box and buy that newspaper. You may want to comment. And I think all of this is tied into education and how we view education. It is, all of these are declining properties, I think, as far as the society is concerned. We pay a lot of lip service to education, no child left behind, which is a complete sham, but we don't really mean it. I don't think we really mean it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I mean it, Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. We'll beat the traffic news 10. Eastbound I-80 at Enterprise Boulevard, we have a three-car crash. Northbound I-5 just south of Meadowview Road. That disabled vehicle that's hanging out there is blocking the on-ramp, so you might want to stay clear of that. In the Twin Cities at Clay Station, there's a three-car crash. Elkhorn Boulevard at Sprigg Drive, there's a three-car crash. That is stopping things down there. Emergency vehicles there blocking the lane. Lows tonight, 48. Highs coming up tomorrow, 58. Enid Live will continue and more of your calls. I'm Lisa West at AM 1320 KCTC.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320.
Sacramento's left channel.
I am Newstead Steele.
I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that.
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com. Or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Five 48 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 7. As you can tell, I'm really passionate about this subject of getting stupider. And we are so smart. This country was great because we had energy and natural ability and brains, and we still do. And we're just making ourselves willfully stupid. And a lot of pop culture is too dumb to breathe, really. And you just see it in all these places in the society. Other countries can't help but surpass us care more about education. They put their money where their mouth is. There is public will for it. They subsidize journalism. Newspapers in England, very vibrant journalistic tradition in England, that they can be as down market as and also up market at the same time. But they campaign for things. They're bold. They're adventurous. And here, publishers, Molly Ivins was right. The newspaper industry isn't just dying. It's committing suicide. And it's all of a piece with our educational system, and particularly in California, where we rank slightly above Mississippi. I mean, it is a scandal. No Child Left Behind is not going to fix it. 349-1320. It's just one of those slogans. Remember, like Mission Accomplished or The Way Forward, all these slogans from the administration, all of which are empty. Deanna, calling from Folsom. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Deanna.
Oh, hi, Enid. I'm a first-time caller. So
welcome. We're delighted. Thank you.
I'm so happy that you're talking about the No Child Left Behind Act, because I've been so concerned about it. I'm a retired teacher,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I can publicly say what many teachers can't say, because they're teaching under a law, and teachers traditionally don't really break the law like that. But it's hurting how they function in their classrooms, and that's directly affecting students. It's narrowing the teaching that takes place in schools. And the law was passed in 2002. It makes test-focused environments in most schools. That's the most important thing that's taking place. And it's condemning schools. And it's set up by 2014 in the state of California and all states, because all states under the No Child Left Behind now have their own standards. It's not federal standards, but I'm getting nervous here.
That's okay. Well, you know, first of all, here's what I do know, that they're teaching to the test, so that right away narrows everything. It straitjackets real teaching. And these tests, what kind of tests are they? You know, just like the SAT, a lot of multiple choice. I don't know. I hate those tests, because I have the kind of mentality where you have five choices, and I can see that two actually could be the real choice. And I'm not just doing it out of, you know, I'm doing it out of, because I see things in a kind of shades agree that maybe the test makers didn't anticipate. So I'm always flummoxed by those tests. I would much prefer, and I think it's more revealing, the essay exam,
right,
or the essay test.
You know, the standards also, nobody wants to be against standards, and of course you need to have guidelines. But you know, when they put standards on very young children, it's like saying every child should crawl at the same time, should talk at the same time,
should walk
at the same time.
This is so destructive. It's so horrible.
It is. And I think the teachers and the schools are being blamed. You know, in 2014, under the No Child Left Behind Act, all schools are to be at 100% proficiency. So at that point,
and if they're not,
are set up to fail.
Yes, exactly. And what if they don't make it? What if they're not at 100%? What's the sanction?
The sanction is that they at first they can close the school. By 2014, they can come in and close any school. Probably the privatization is what the move is.
What it sounds like to me? I know this sounds horribly cynical, but let me just say it. This is the Bush administration trying actively to dumb everybody down by pretending that they're going to make you smart and come up to standard. That's really what this is about. This is as hollow as it gets.
I'm so happy that you're talking about it. I hope you keep talking about it, because, you know, it's coming up before the Congress in this year.
What would happen if you were
right?
You
need to write.
Okay.
Teachers need to write, and parents need to write. All of them are so stressed because of this. I mean, the schools are just absolutely stressed because of this.
Deanna, let me ask you this question. You're retired, so you feel free to comment. What about a teacher who is actively teaching? Why are they not free to comment? It's still the United States, I think.
Well, it is, yes, but you know, when you have a job and you're working under the law, this is what the law says for them to do.
Yeah, but you're free.
They're so busy trying to comply but they don't really have time.
They're complying in a system that's rigged against them.
Well, exactly, exactly.
That is what is going on here. I'm delighted that you called us today. Thank you for doing it.
Okay, thanks.
I appreciate it, Deanna. Thanks very much. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We're slow-moving traffic, beating the traffic with News 10. Florin Road at Franklin Boulevard, there's a hit and run. Eastbound 50 at Placerville. Eastbound at 244, there's a three-car crash in North Sac. Eastbound I-8 at Enterprise Boulevard. That three-car crash is slowing things down quite a bit. Sunrise Boulevard on route to Eastbound 50, the three-car crash. That's beating the traffic with News 10. Tonight, lows 48. Highs coming up tomorrow, 58. Enid Live will continue. And more of your calls. I'm Lisa West at AM 1320 KCTC.
Because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Change Bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Facing charges in Florida that include attempted murder, astronaut Lisa Marie Nowak was brought home to Houston today, hustled off a plane to a car waiting on the tarmac, and driven to Johnson Space Center for medical evaluation. In the wake of the Love Triangle case, her bosses are taking a fresh look at the way they keep tabs on the astronaut's mental health.
NASA isn't saying much about the Lisa Nowak case.
This is, of course, a personal and legal matter.
But Deputy Administrator Shanna Dale says they'll find out if the agency could have done anything to prevent Nowak's alleged attack on a reported romantic rival. Dale says she spoke with one of Nowak's superiors in Houston.
He has indicated that they saw no indications of concern with Lisa. But that is part of the review that we want to embark upon.
That includes a review of the entire psychological screening process. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
For the fifth time in less than 3 weeks, a U.S. military helicopter has been shot down in Iraq. Today it was a Marine transport chopper flying northwest of Baghdad. It crashed and burned, killing all seven people aboard. Fraud charges have been filed against five more people for allegedly rigging bids on Iraq reconstruction projects. And CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv says this might be just the tip of a very large iceberg.
Some investigators risk their lives to audit documents in Iraq. They say they unraveled a complex bribery scheme. Two military men and a civilian already convicted. Now three more Army officers and two civilians are indicted. A female Army colonel in charge of doling out contracts and others are accused of taking
cash, SUVs and luxury cars, jewelry.
Even a small airplane, said Paul McNulty, deputy attorney. Attorney General. Officials add there are 80 more bribery and theft investigations underway in Iraq. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
A surprise development at the court-martial of Army Lieutenant Aaron Watata, who refused orders to deploy to Iraq. A military judge at Fort Lewis, Washington, declared a mistrial because Watata did not fully understand a document he signed admitting to some elements of the charges. Eric Seitz is Watata's defense lawyer.
Our hope is at this point that the Army will realize that this case is a hopeless mess.
A new trial is set for March 12th, but the defense will fight to have the charges dropped. Tim Russert of NBC News took the stand today at Scooter Libby's trial and contradicted the former White House aide's claim that it was Russert who told Libby that former Ambassador Joe Wilson's wife was a CIA officer. Libby, Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, is accused of lying to the FBI about how he learned of Valerie Plame Wilson. CBS News correspondent Gloria Borger is following the trial.
Vice President Cheney could take the stand in Libby's defense, but he may also need to answer some questions about himself and whether he directly controlled a White House effort to discredit a political enemy.
The Dow up a fraction today. The Nasdaq gained 19 points. This is CBS News.
Snuggie means kissing, and I've never been told anything otherwise. So, yes, I would consider that I am a good snogger, as you might put it.
Her Match.com username is Cute Brit Chick, and you can email her right now. Go ahead, it's okay to look, whether it's Cute Brit Chick or someone else. We're so confident you'll find someone special in 6 months that if you don't, we'll give you 6 months free. It's our guarantee to you, and it's only at the all-new Match.com. See site for details.
So you're a consultant?
Yes, sir.
What's with the wall of sticky notes?
It's my small business accounting system. Unpaid invoices go on the purple ones.
And the green?
New customers.
So unpaid bills are the yellow ones.
How'd you know?
I took a shot. You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Yeah?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you write checks, send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't.
I'll switch. So, need a couple hundred sticky notes?
I'm going to pass on that. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at OfficeMax, Best Buy, or Amazon.com.
A disappointed Chicago Bears fan admits alcohol was involved, and that's why he's taken steps to legally take the name of the Super Bowl MVP. WBBM Radio's Regine Schlesinger has the story.
During a moment of drunken exuberance, 26-year-old Scott Wheezy says he told friends at a Decatur bar that if the Bears didn't win, he'd change his name to Peyton Manning, the Colts quarterback.
There's probably 200 people in the bar, so after that, there's really no turning back.
Rather than welch on the bet, Wheezy now has filed the paperwork. He says his parents initially were shocked by what he'd done.
They got over it. My dad's fine with it. You know, mom's a little upset.
Wheezy says the judge still could turn him down, something that privately he's hoping for. Regine Schlesinger, CBS News. Chicago.
He was dressed when he boarded the gondola and dressed when he got off, but during the ride at Stratton Mountain Resort in Vermont, skier William Barrett allegedly stripped off all his clothes. He's charged with lewd and lascivious conduct, a felony. Barrett claimed he only took off his jacket and shirt because the weather was so nice. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Minutes after 6, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays, Mondays through Fridays, right here on AM 1320 KCTC. We have a really sensational conversation, a rich, a compelling, provocative, and its highest octave. We're always striving for it, and the reason the conversation is so good, it's because you participate in it, and let me encourage you to do it. We've had some new callers, new voices that we haven't heard before. Most of you will never pick up the phone to call us. We know that, but we encourage you to do it. Think about it. Get closer, inch closer to doing it. The number, it's always toll-free, 349-1320. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320, 866-626-1320. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com, and you can email me, enid@kctc.com. We've been talking about how dumb we've become, whether you measure it in newspaper circulation, whether you measure it in pop culture, whether you measure it in No Child Left Behind in schools and so on. We've been talking about many things, and today we've been talking about the astronaut, we were talking about politics, and I want to move into politics for the moment and add this to the conversation. First of all, nearly a year out from New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation presidential primaries, John McCain and Rudy Giuliani are neck and neck. So Chris Matthews believes that Rudy Giuliani is going to be the guy. That when you see the pictures of him at 9/11, he's the guy. That terrorism, that Iraq are the big issues, and that he's the guy who can make that sale. I don't know if that's the case. I don't think McCain is going to be able to do it. I think there's been too much hypocrisy. Also, it's being reported that John Edwards is going to move in from the left. Hillary is moving from the left into the center. If he comes at her from the left, does she have to move left to counter him? Gloria Steinem has got an op-ed piece, and before I get to it, the GOP apparently views Hillary as virtually unbeatable. What many conservatives regard as the nightmare scenario, President Hillary Rodham Clinton is increasingly seen by veteran Republican politicians and strategists as a virtual inevitability. And by the way, it's being speculated, I think Rudy Giuliani is going to be here over the weekend. There's a big Republican meeting. Is it this weekend or next weekend? In any event, he's scheduled to talk, as I understand it, and he will announce his actual candidacy. 349-1320-866-2613-20. That's what the LA Times is telling us. In any event, in GOP circles, the Democratic frontrunner is seen as so strong and the political climate for Republicans so hostile that many influential voices, including current and former lawmakers and veterans of Bush's campaigns, have grown despairing. These partisans describe a political equivalent of the stages of grief. Good. Starting with denial, then resentment, and ending with acceptance. For now, these Republicans say the party needs good luck, including a change of fortune in Iraq, and good luck about that, and a revival of organization and leadership in the conservative movement to avert another Clinton presidency. The Republicans are convinced they view Clinton as virtually unbeatable, certainly as the nominee, and maybe as the president. Gloria Steinem, writing in today's an op-ed piece in today's New York Times, essentially says that you shouldn't be talking about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton as two firsts. In other words, she would be the first woman president and he would be the first president or vice president. That it's irrelevant. She said the larger question is why compare and ignore the opposition. Both Senators Clinton and Obama are civil rights advocates, feminists, environmentalists, critics of the war in Iraq. Though she voted early and wrong, and he spoke out early and right, both have resisted pandering to the right, something that sets them apart from any Republican candidate, including John McCain. Both have Washington and foreign policy experience. George W. Bush did not have when he first ran for president. But the greatest reason for progressives to refuse to be drawn into an irrelevant debate about Senators Clinton and Obama is that it is destructive. We can accomplish much more if we act as a coalition. Think, for instance, of the powerful 19th century coalition for universal adult suffrage. So she's saying forget about pitting them against each other. Forget about having the conversation about either of them or each of them being the first of their gender or race to accede to such high office. How Democrats should deal with their two firsts is to not... she's saying, with all due respect to the journalistic dilemma of reporting two firsts at the same time, two viable presidential candidates who aren't the usual white faces over collars and ties, I think this is dumb and destructive question. It's dumb because most Americans are smart enough to figure out that a member of a group may or may not represent its interests. After all, many African Americans opposed the appointment of Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court because they were aware of his record and the views of his conservative supporters, and so on and on and on. So she says we need to come together and not be divided. What are your thoughts? 349-1320, 866-620-613-20. The GOP thinks that she's virtually unbeatable. Can middle America vote for Hillary Clinton? Is Gloria Steinem, with whom I once had lunch in New York and not very long ago, and I liked her a lot, it's hard to believe she's in her 70s now. Gloria Steinem is saying the right candidates, but the wrong question. The question isn't whether they're the first and whether they can do it. You've got to come together on this, and you can't be divided. That's what she says, and that's what progressives have to do. Otherwise, they wind up fragmenting and eating themselves and their young. Eric in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eric.
Hi, good evening. I'd like to jump back to the No Child Left Behind.
Yes.
I think you're missing some vital information to speak on this subject. First of all, it was a bipartisan plan.
It doesn't matter if it's bipartisan. It's a bad idea.
Okay,
I don't care if both sides of the aisle were for it. It's a bad idea.
Okay, you're blaming just Bush, and I just wanted to point out that it was designed by a group of people, not just Bush. But I'm wondering if you're aware of the fact that what they're trying to do is close the gap between those who are doing well and those who are not. For example, I work at an elementary school. I'm an elementary school principal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're required to take a look at our subgroups from the data that we get off this test and take a look at groups like how are the black students doing, the Hispanic students, socioeconomic students,
okay,
and develop plans to correct any deficiencies that they have because they're not competing with the other students. So the teachers and I work together, and we will work out a plan to see what we can do to remediate some of those things. And I don't see that as a bad thing. The other thing
that sounds like an appropriate thing to be doing, remediating kids who are lagging behind. This No Child Left Behind, where teachers wind up teaching to the test, I have a real problem with that.
Okay, just so that you're aware, the test that they're referring to, that the retired teacher is talking about, that's the STAR test, and that was developed before the No Child Left Behind. The No Child Left Behind Act requires every state to have something like that, but that was already in place, and there are a lot of problems with that. But one of the reasons that came about is that California used to be one of the top states in the country when it came to education. And before long, we were right down at the bottom. Right now, the only states that we excel in is Louisiana and Mississippi.
That's right. We're barely above Mississippi, if you can believe that.
That's right. So that's why they brought those tests out, to try to hold people accountable. The No Child Left Behind.
Can I tell you, Eric, you're a principal. A test. What about a test? Well, how about not just remediating? How about giving kids the skills, more teachers, more books, more whatever is required? Instead, what you're doing is a double whammy. The kids don't have it, and then you give them a test to prove that they don't have it. That what does the test do? Why not give them the skills, more teachers, more whatever is required to bring them up to speed instead of a test?
Well, some of that's been done. We've lowered the class size in California in kindergarten through third grade to 20 students in a class. It used to be 30, 32. The state does provide money for textbooks. I don't think anyone could say that kids don't have textbooks.
In the poorer, more urban districts, they don't have enough textbooks, and there were court cases about that lately.
Not in California.
Yes, in California, they don't have the same resources. That's why, for a while, the whole exit exam, the high school exit exam, was on hold because there wasn't an equal distribution of resources, the court found.
Well, yes, and actually right now, in every classroom, there's a poster above the room that states that textbooks have to be provided. We have to do an accounting, and we have to certify that every kid has a textbook.
Are you in what kind of a district? How would you describe your district? Is it a middle class? Is it upper income? Is it lower income? What is it?
It has all kinds.
Everything. All across the board?
All across the board. So it has low functioning schools and high functioning schools.
Okay.
And every school gets the same budget for textbooks. We don't get a budget. We get the textbooks. The district pays for them, and we have to certify that every kid has a book. If not, we have to let them know, because there are consequences for that. Now, that is a new law, but the state has always provided the same funding for textbooks to all California students. So I don't think that's an issue. And we don't focus on the test. We focus on trying to increase the skills that we have to teach kids. We don't just go about looking at test-taking skills. But you have to admit, there's got to be some method of testing to see if we're showing progress. And that's what these things do. But the focus is to improve the instruction, to improve what kids are doing. So it's an attempt to do something that needs to be done, and I just feel like you're being so critical of it without understanding that the effort behind it is...
I'm only reading terrible things about it, and I'm only hearing terrible things about it from teachers and all the journalism about it, and I think a lot of people, I mean, my lines are full right now, who I think they all want to respond to what you're saying, and maybe all these people will wind up agreeing with you, I don't know, but it strikes me that when you are teaching to the test, the students are important. You are being impoverished when that's what's going on in order to satisfy the requirements of the testing.
So do you feel like there should be any test?
Well, no, it's good to have some testing, but if that becomes the focus of it, then you're really not doing the job. It's just all about testing. It's not actually about bringing people up to speed.
Well, how often do you think we test?
I don't know. How often do you test?
Once a year.
Once a year? Okay.
So, I mean, it's not like we're testing every month.
So you're telling me, Eric, as a school principal, you are in favor. You're a principal, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, you are in favor of this. You think this is a plus for the system?
No. I think there are problems associated with it, but I'm just saying that the intent behind it is to make these improvements, and I think you're missing that.
Well, the intent, with all due respect, Eric, the intent behind Iraq was not to lose and have a massive failure, but that doesn't mean that we didn't lose and have a massive failure. So even though the intent was wonderful here, what about the execution and what about the result of the intent?
Well, if you were to do some research, you'd see that schools are improving, that states across the nation are improving. It's not showing that they're not. Now there probably is.
Are they really improving? Even if the test scores are up, are those test scores really synonymous with improvement, or are they just higher test scores that don't actually reflect what has gone on? I mean, there are people who can take tests, but that doesn't mean that they're any smarter.
No,
I'm not the greatest test taker in some respects, although I always had good grades. I'm not the greatest with multiple choice tests because I can see sort of nuances and then I get all confused as what would be the right answer. And those tests never measure creativity, of which I think I have some, and so I always think that always compensated for whatever things I didn't have on the test. But go ahead.
The tests are not extremely accurate for an individual or even a class, but the larger the population taking the test, the more accurate they are. So for a whole grade level, they're far more accurate than an individual. For a whole school, they're more accurate than an individual. For a district, they're more accurate. So the larger the population, you get rid of some of those problems that you just mentioned.
Do you think that teachers are teaching for the test?
Well, probably some of them. I mean, we all want the test scores to go up. Where your caller mentioned that if you're not successful, they're closing the schools. That's correct, but that's only if you're showing year after year of a decline, and then you're put on a program for 5 years, and then you go in there and you do a lot of intensive work to try to turn things around. So it's
yeah, and the minute you do, they pull those teams out, and then the schools are left to kind of molder all over again.
Well, no,
has happened in the past.
The schools that are in those situations, all of them are Title I schools where they've been receiving Title I funds for years. The typical school might receive $300,000 to $500,000 in additional funds to provide lower class size or provide additional materials, more technology, counselors, whatever that school feels needs to be done. But the problem with the Title I program, which prompted No Child Left Behind to come about, is that we were not getting any progress. We'd pumped millions of dollars into these programs, but we weren't getting progress. So the No Child Left Behind is kind of saying, hey, we've got to find progress. And there are, I'm not saying that it's perfect. We need some work on it. But it is moving forward. You should go out and visit some schools that are involved with this and see what kind of things that they're doing.
Well, I think that would be a good idea. All right. You have set forth your thoughts on this, and the lines are full because people want to respond to you. Do you want to leave us with any idea, any additional thought?
No, I just think it's something that part of the problem with not showing progress is if you come from a family where they value education, you're probably going to do your homework, you're going to pay attention, you're going to be well-fed, you're going to probably be more productive in a classroom than if you come from an environment where you weren't.
That's right, and more students are coming from environments where either a language is the issue because English isn't the principal language spoken, or because they're negligent parents, or they're working, or they're whatever. And so the schools have to pick up a lot of the slack. And
right.
Then you've also got a pop culture that gives you gold stars for the dumber you act rather than the smarter you are.
Well, I don't know anyone does that.
I don't know. I think there's a pop culture that actively works against being intelligent. I mean, look at Britney Spears. You don't have to go too much farther than that. All right, Eric, let's just see how people respond to what you've said. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate hearing from you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. 349-1320. Those of you who are in the educational establishment, if you're teachers, Eric is a principal. These are his thoughts. I think he's probably a Bush supporter. But he thinks the testing is necessary. Mark in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
About 15 years ago when I started in the Elk Grove District, it was all about critical thinking and problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
And we had kids working on real-life problems, we were teaching concepts, using manipulatives, and now it's totally changed. We actually test midway through the year, and we look at those tests very closely. We run through Scantrons, they're right in our computers, we get the scores right away, we look at them. We analyze them. We look at the areas where they're weak. We are encouraged to teach to the test in the sense that not giving them the answer, but the format, the language, process of elimination, all the things that you can do to get those test scores up. And you know,
so as a teacher, Mark, as a teacher, how has this affected your teaching and how has it affected the kind of education that the students receive?
Well, it affects it dramatically. It's I buy into the idea of them doing well on that test so that I will have more time to actually do the things that they need to know about problem solving and debating issues and learning about the Constitution and the things that I feel are more important. But yeah, it's a different world altogether. I mean, it used to be when you came in. It was just that the test wasn't emphasized at all. It was very little. And you just spent more time doing projects and creative, creative dance.
All right, but bottom line, what is this test a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing. And also I think we should be looking at how teachers teach because we're talking about different ethnic groups that gentleman was talking about. African-American people learn differently. Hispanic people learn differently, and teachers need to look at different teaching modalities.
Well, is it that African Americans as a whole learn differently, and Hispanics as a whole learn differently,
each student
learns differently? I learn differently from my sister and brother.
Absolutely, and that's the problem that we get into when we start to generalize. People say, "Oh, that's racist," but the reality is that in general, that for example, African American people in general, they're much better on their feet. They can get up and you get them up on the board and you get them explaining and they understand really. That's how they learn. They learn as they're doing it, and not sitting down, sitting still. People learn better with music and incorporating music and adding raps and songs and stuff like that. So with movement, a lot more. And we don't teach that way. We kind of do a monkey see, monkey do. We do a model that's based after the bell rings, you move. The bell rings, you move like a factory worker. And we got to look at more innovative ways of teaching.
Okay, Mark, we'll leave it there. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320, June in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, June.
Hi, I'm a regular listener and sometime caller. So I just wanted to relate an experience that was quite eye-opening. Two summers ago, I had the privilege of spending a month in Europe. And what a shock. People in Europe actually still knew critical thinking and skills of analysis. So I've been asking myself, who benefits from a dumbed-down American people? In my mind, it's big corporate America.
Big and the administration. Where were you in Europe for a month? Lucky you. Where were you?
Yes. Well, it was divided. I spent a week in Denmark and then 3 weeks visiting family in Greece. And even Greece, which I take a dim view, it's, to my mind, the third world of Europe, even there, people were more well-read.
Oh, but Greece is the flower of civilization, flowered in Greece. I mean, there's a, you know, I remember doing, I have to tell you, I was in Italy once and did some of my show from Italy.
Really?
But yes. Well, it wasn't so too complicated. It was rather low-tech, high-tech, and that was that I had a phone that could, that I could call into my show. And this was not in San Francisco. Where was this? This was Denver, I think. Where I could call into my show and they put me on the air. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the greatest technology. It wasn't the greatest sound. But it was right after what happened. It was an election or something. I'm trying to remember the circumstances. And we were just talking. I was at Harry's in Venice, this wonderful where you get Bellinis and they overcharge the tourists and it's just a great historic place. And there were all these other people from various parts of Italy and they were all up on what was going on in the U.S. It, not like the dopey people, you know, if you were in a bar here and, yeah, and you asked them about some political thing that was just happening under their noses. These and they were articulate, they were knowledgeable, and it was just a random sampling and I got great comment. And then there were some English people sitting next to us and got great comment from them as well. So I know what you're talking about, and you don't see the contrast as much as when you go abroad. And I'm afraid that what we're looking at here in this country is a new Dark Ages.
Yes.
Where somebody, a few people, a handful of people left who can remember how it was to think critically, who can remember how it was to seem smart, who can remember how it was to read a book and have ideas and talk about them and all of that.
Well, what Republicans want, I see it at my place of employment and the subdivision where I live, Republicans want people who are so stupid that these people will vote against their own best interests.
You may very well be right about that, June. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition, and we have a line open. Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check weather and traffic together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. It looks like we have slow-moving traffic. South Bend 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. Checking traffic and beating it with News 10. I-5 and at J Street, there's a three-car crash. In Twin Cities Road at Clay Station Road, there's a three-car crash slowing things down. 48 for the low. We got 58 coming up on Thursday for the high. Scattered showers, and we're at 58 at AM 1320 KCTC.
Through the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Change, Bennett. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
Living on borrowed time, watching it go. When I'm gonna come back in.
6:33 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. The lines are full. I think we have one line open, 349-1320-866-620-613-20. We're talking about No Child Left Behind, and I just got this email from Deanna, who actually called the show. She said, I called you. I hope you continue about the No Child Left Behind Act. I was so concerned about the impact that the act is having on our schools that I wrote a book called Nobody Left Behind, One Child Story About Testing. It's written for middle grade students, but arguably to be read by teachers, parents, administrators, legislators, available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, etc. She said the No Child Left Behind Act will be coming before Congress this year, and anyone who's aware of how this law is crippling teachers in the classroom, causing anxiety to students and parents and administrators, will write their congressman and let them know that this is a flawed law and it must be changed. It has set the public schools up to fail by 2014. It's measuring schools and their ability to meet state standards. Schools must make adequate yearly progress. And so on. In some schools, testing is the curriculum just to survive. Standardized tests are a narrowing of thinking. Standardized tests can't measure initiative, creativity, imagination, conceptual thinking, curiosity, effort. And signed, Deanna of Folsom. So thank you, Deanna, for that. And your thoughts about this. Rod in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Rod.
Hi. I'm the conservative that always calls to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And on this one, I have to strongly disagree, but not just primarily with the previous caller, because I'm also African-American. And he had to state that African Americans, he thinks, that we learn differently, and songs and chant. This guy is the most insulting guy I've ever heard. And I don't understand why people that always claim to be progressive always have these racist, condescending views about what it takes, or how blacks think differently or somehow learn differently than other races. And, I mean, this is what's ridiculous. And then I think that No Child Left Behind is effective and a good program, because I also live in the Oak Park area of Sacramento.
Okay.
Where there is a terrible school in my neighborhood, which prior to No Child Left Behind, I could not get my child out of this school. My child is in gifted and talented education, and he's at the top of his class now in another school. Okay, they didn't even want to put him in gifted and talented education in this primarily minority school in my neighborhood, which is very well funded, where they're opposed to the No Child Left Behind program.
Why did they not want to put your child into gifted and talented?
Because if they could keep his classification the same and thusly keep him in that school,
he could raise the scores.
He could raise the scores.
Gotcha.
But these people were crooked. And the thing is, there is no industry, there is no anything that I can think of where the imposition of standards of performance has not led to better performance. And if you want to measure intelligence abstractly by creativity and other factors,
then
you're going to go on to another area.
I don't think
know what they need to know.
Yeah, but Brad, I don't think it's about... I don't think we disagree about testing. I mean, you got to have tests. Yeah, we all have to take tests to graduate. Everybody had to take tests and pop quizzes and all that stuff. But I think that this is something that is worse than merely taking a test and measuring. I don't think that this offers much in the way of remediation, and I think it sets up a situation where kids can only fail and schools can only fail. So testing is only one part of the...
I think they're doing better markedly, and you can prove that they're doing better.
We're hearing from teachers...
they're going to be required to know certain things, they can rise to these standards. People rise to a standard of what's demanded. If there's nothing demanded, there's nothing to rise to, and left to their own
initiative... I don't have a problem rising to a standard, but I do have a problem teaching to the test, and then you have cut all the creativity and the curiosity and the imagination, and you're doing a stultified program in order to pass that test. These dopey standardized tests, which I don't know how much they actually
test
measure.
Give results.
Not always.
I'm an automotive technician, and when they introduced ASE testing for technicians, the level of technicians' work and the quality of their work improved. It had to improve to meet the new standards. This happens
but
every
that's
place
different. That's a that's
place.
A that's a whole different thing,
no,
Rod. It's a professional.
We know what we're required to know now.
No. Let me tell you something. You're an adult, and you're being tested about your profession, and it's a very black and white kind. Pardon the pun, but if you know, as a technician, it's a very black and white kind of a thing. You have to do this to have that work in your car, and you got to.
Well,
what's a way to do this to make your car work?
Well, no, because everything isn't black and white. You can take one avenue of diagnosis or repair or another.
Right.
Which one is the most effective? Which one is the most correct? When standards were imposed, the quality of work being done improved dramatically.
All right, we're going to leave it there, and we're going to see how people respond to what you've said, and I thank you for calling. 349-1320, Rod thinks that you got to have standards, and No Child Left Behind is the right way to do it. Sandra in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well,
hey,
thank you.
How about a music class, you know what I'm saying, or an art class, or how about learning how to read a piece of literature like, you know, the Scarlet Letter? I mean, give me a break with these tests. Anyway, the only thing I wanted to say was, I was just piggybacking that woman who spent time in Europe, you know, I was fortunate enough to live overseas for a number of years, and I'm so grateful for it.
Where did you live, Sandra?
Oh, I lived in Europe for a while. I lived in New Zealand, Australia, traveled in Asia. I've traveled extensively, and it really has, as a black person, oh my God, thank God, because I could just be Sandra, you know, as opposed to over here, you're like black or whatever other label they got for you. And it's just like, it is a really dumbing down process in this country, and I really have to agree with you that these tests and all those sort of standard type things are fine for jobs, but for children, you want to give them other ways of thinking, creativity, and it's all being sort of shut down, I think, to keep us in allowing things for a rat to happen. You know what I mean?
Well, it squelches. It's like squeezed out of them. And then if they act up and they start acting like kids, we give them, what do we give them? Adderall? We got all these ADD drugs. That's right. We drug them.
And it's just, you know, and I just think, you know, I mean, God bless, you know.
Ritalin, that's what we give them. Ritalin, Adderall, all these drugs.
Well, you know, God bless the guy who just called, you know, about, you know, wanting to have his kid in the GATE programs and stuff. But I just, you know, I just don't see this whole testing, teaching to the test as a solution, especially for Title I kids, which is unfortunately where it's pumped to death, if you know what I'm saying.
Are you a teacher?
Me, no, man. I'm a student at the moment.
Well, good for you, Sandra. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, Susan in Stockton. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Enid. This is Susie. I think Rod's argument actually proves that No Child Left Behind is not working. They had to try and keep him in the school so that they could have higher scores.
Keep his son in the school.
Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. And it proves it's just not working. People in the United States need to wise up and figure out what's really going on. It's all about money. This No Child Left Behind was pretty much a scam. It's meant to irritate everybody, frustrate all the parents, ruin your education. It's just like the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. All it does is...
It's a fancy title with not much in it.
Right.
Susan...
No Child Left Behind was, I think, meant to have everybody so frustrated with education that everybody will now go for the vouchers so that then they can privatize. It's all about money. And then Bush's buddies can make a lot of money off of education as well. And keep everybody stupid so that they will keep voting for them.
Well, there's a scenario. All right, Susan, thank you very much for sharing. 349-1320. Ken, thank you for being so patient. Ken in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Well, I was going to talk about Hillary Clinton, but I agree with that last caller. This is about the ultimate privatization of the federal funds for public schools. It's the last great big pool of money outside of Social Security that can be privatized. Can I talk about Hillary?
Yeah. What do you want to say about Hillary? Gloria Steinem says, don't divide Hillary and Obama. Don't talk about how it's a first for race and gender. Just, you know, get together behind them and go forward.
I totally disagree. This is beginning to smell an awful lot like a dynastic system. You've got a Bush, a Clinton, a Bush, a Clinton, and what happens in 12? Is Jeb going to run? We're already drifting into authoritarianism in this country as is, and to create what looks like a by-proxy dynastic system is really scary. On top of that, Hillary is a centrist. I'm sorry, she's too much of a war hawk. She has gotten way too much money from the military-industrial complex. She's opted out of the public payment system for campaigns. And this might be a little controversial, but I'm very uncomfortable with her position with AIPAC. You know, she was at the AIPAC meeting this last weekend, and she...
And what's your problem with AIPAC, Ken?
Well, AIPAC is a foreign...
Don't start demonizing Israel, because I don't go for it.
No. I'm an atheist. I'm not going to come at this. I'm not going to come at this from a religious argument. My argument is that AIPAC refuses to register with the federal government as a foreign lobbying entity, which is what they are. They're also an arm of the Likud party inside of Israel, which is the most conservative.
I don't know about that. I know that they're an American organization, so I really don't know a great deal about AIPAC. I'm going to have to get more up to speed on it. But I hate. I'm looking at stories today, and I want to throw this into the conversation, and we don't have a whole lot of time to do it. We have to take a break. But here is Jimmy Carter accusing the Simon Wiesenthal Center of slander because they're disagreeing with what he wrote in his new book.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Yeah, but he's also recanted parts of it himself, and he wants it corrected in the next edition. And then you have the principal of an Islamic school that admitted that it uses textbooks which describe Jews as apes and Christians as pigs and has refused to withdraw them. Now, we're seeing also a resurgence, Jews are, of anti-Semitism. You're seeing it in countries that you don't expect to see it in, countries like England and maybe countries like France where maybe you do expect to see it, but you don't expect to see it in these westernized countries. And it's a rather dangerous time. And Israel's doing what it's doing. It's under siege. Is Israel perfect? It's not perfect. perfect. But I think it deserves to live, and to demonize it, make it completely and wholly wrong, certainly misses the point, and I don't think is a fair evaluation. But you know what? That's a whole other conversation. So we're gonna leave it there, and I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. 48 we're going to see for the low tomorrow highs. It looks like we're going to get near 58. Some showers we're going to see for the next couple of days. But honestly, on Saturday, 61, 62 degrees. It's going to be absolutely gorgeous. I can hardly wait. South Bend 99 right there by Fruit Ridge Road. We do have a two-car crash that is slowing things down quite drastically. And coming back, I-5, eastbound 50 at Mesa Field Road. There's a two-car crash. And northbound 99, just south of eastbound 50, there's a crash there as well. Enid Live, and more of your calls coming up, and beating traffic with the News 10. I'm Lisa West at AM 1320 KCTC.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Homeowner. I'm the change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly. Not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at sacradiothon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did say. Really?
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 6:48 on the Wednesday edition of Enid Live. Well, here's a shocker. The Pentagon investigated itself and says there's absolutely no abuse that it indulged in it at Guantanamo. Oh, we're so amazed about that. And then the Bush uncle is making all this money tangled in an options probe. Oh, my goodness. And then you have families are suing Blackwater, an independent outside contractor, independent contractor. Family of four private guards whose bodies were burned and dragged through the streets by a mob in Iraq told Congress today that the security company, Blackwater, that hired them failed to provide armored vehicles and other promised protections. Of course, well, if it costs money and they can make more without it, hey, why not just act like the Pentagon acts? Bob in Stockton. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bob.
Yes, hello, Enid. You know, I wanted to bring up two important points that the last caller touched upon and then another issue, but they're closely related, but I'll try to stay focused. Because when you bring up the issue of no child left behind, it's every child left behind is what it is. If you listen closely to George Bush, and you know, some people do and they laugh a lot or they tune him out, but being in education, if you listen to some of his buzzwords that he uses, on his recent speech, State of the Union, he said something which is a buzzword for privatization of schools. When he discussed education, he commented and he said, which was really amusing, he said, I want to give parents the opportunity to select the school of their choice. I want to make sure that parents have the opportunity to improve their child's education. Well, anyone in academics...
And he wants to give everybody a $4,000 check from public funds so that they can run away from this, from schools that are having difficulties instead of fixing them. So why is that any kind of a solution? That's just running away, which he has done his whole life. Remember, he's a man that the baseball owners didn't think was qualified to be baseball commissioner.
Exactly. So the point I'm trying to get at is you hit the nail right on the head. What he's telling American people is take your children out of public schools, which they get very rigid assessment and all the services they need. Put them in a charter school. By the way, a lot of people don't know, these charter schools are private corporations run by his friends and his cronies.
Is that the definition of charter schools? I've really never known what are charter schools. There are schools for profit. What are charter schools? Aren't there charter schools that we pay for?
You pay. Well, what I'm trying to tell you is I could start a charter school. You could be an instructor because you don't have to have any kind of.
But aren't there charter? But there are charter schools that are public schools. I know somebody who's in a charter school and it is a public school. So not all charter schools are for profit enterprises. I don't think.
Yes, they are. Charter schools are private corporations.
No, not all. Not all. No. You're getting a chorus of dissent from the control room because they have children who have dealt with charter schools. I'm going to have to dissent with you there. But I do understand what you're saying, Bob.
And move on to the next point that's more formal, and I know because I've been in the district for 17 years. I work on a benchmark committee that writes the exams that the parents are complaining about. We interface the exams, the questions that we compose have to be reliable and verifiable regarding the state standards. The problem is we're removing standards. Some people say we're dumbing them down, and that's exactly what's happening.
What do you mean? In the test, the No Child Left Behind, you're not imposing standards, you're removing them. In other words, you're making it so easy so that they don't fail. We only have a few seconds, so you got to tell me very, very quickly.
The timeline is this. When I started with the district on a committee, we had standards in science, we had standards in art, we had standards in music, we had computer literacy standards, we had multiple measures and thinking, critical thinking things that were in. When No Child Left Behind came up, we're testing math, we're testing language arts, and that's about it. We're fully starting to integrate science. We had to change and reduce the conceptual understanding to fit into the ABC multiple choice testing standards.
That is so depressing. All right, I'm so sorry, but we're going to have to leave it there because we need to take a break here. But I am delighted that you called, and I hope you'll call us again with more on this, Bob. Thanks. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 KCTC. Time now to check traffic and weather together with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. It looks like we got slow-moving traffic going on, obviously, southbound 99, northbound 99, just south of eastbound 50. There's a two-car crash over there and a hit-and-run at Kingfisher Way and River Mist Way. Lows tonight, 48. Highs coming up tomorrow, 58. We just beat the traffic with News 10, and I'm Lisa West. Enid Live, and more of your calls coming up next at AM 1320 KCTC.
While they're slinging mud, we're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
It outgrows.
New media. And can you hear the sound of
change bandit. Now give me all your change.
No, silly, not like that.
Not like that?
No, just tell them how they can help by collecting the spare change from their friends, family, classmates, and co-workers. And donate it to the UC Davis Children's Hospital. All from our good friends at the Sacramento Credit Union.
They can? And all they have to do is register online at SacRadioThon.com or ask their Sacramento Credit Union representative for more info? Well, why didn't you say so?
I just did, silly.
Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com. Think about this. Just a few years ago, you'd never have thought about buying a book, booking a hotel, or even buying an airline ticket online. Today, going online is the first place smart consumers look. LegalZoom.com has made it easy for smart, savvy consumers to be able to take care of common legal documents online. It's as simple as buying a book or securing your travel plans. You can form an LLC, last will and testament, or even register a trademark in minutes. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% of the cost of going to an attorney. Yes, up to 80%. LegalZoom.com allows you to create common legal documents online at your own time and in the privacy of your home or office. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom.com takes care of the rest. For a limited time only, go to LegalZoom.com, and you'll receive a special discount by typing Talk Radio, all one word, in the box at checkout. Over a quarter of a million people and thousands more each day put their trust and confidence in LegalZoom.com. That's LegalZoom.com.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.